ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोऽस्तु ते तत्त्वकाञ्चना गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम रामो हरे हरे।
I'm comfortable here. No, they can see. No, I'm comfortable, more comfortable here, please. Thank you. I'm like a backup person. When no speaker is there, I just sit. Please, sorry. I'm comfortable here. I never sat, it's very uncomfortable for me, I'm sorry. I'm happy here. I'm not qualified for that. I'm just sorry for denying. Hare Krishna. So, the flow of Bhagavatam, as all of you know, is from first canto till fifth canto, 15th chapter, is the first two topics are discussed, Sarga and Visarga, right? So, the primary creation and the secondary creation. Secondary creation is mainly by Brahma and Swayambhu Manu and his descendants, so, and their descendants, they are also considered part of Visarga only. So that is also completed till 15th chapter. So now we are entering to another theme, which is sthanam. Sthanam is the positioning of various planets in the universal structure. So that is discussed from the 16th chapter, 5th canto 16th chapter onwards. So many of the things discussed here are beyond our comprehension. So if you are unable to understand few things, so we need to understand that we cannot understand. So then only we can understand something. So that's important. So we cannot conquer Bhagavatam. We cannot completely comprehend. So especially these chapters, 5th canto, 16th chapter onwards till the rest of the canto, are very much discussed amongst the community of devotees several times, and still many devotees have certain doubts about these things. So whatever I understood, I will tell. So now 16th chapter, first verse. So, King Parikshit is asking Sukhdev Goswami. So, can someone please read the translation? You have another mic? Yeah, please. Makanlal Prabhu, you can only read.
King Parikshit said to Sukhdev Goswami, O Brahmana, you have already informed me that the radius of Bhumandala extends as far as the sun spreads its light and heat, and as far as the moon and all the stars can be seen.
So Parikshit Maharaj is asking a question here. So the radius of Bhumandala extends as far as sun spreads its light and heat, and moon and stars can be seen. So that is what I have heard earlier from you. So, Parikshit Maharaj is referring to that. Prabhupada, in the purport, he gives about modern science. So, sunshine reaches earth from whatever, 9.3 cr miles. That is the radius of Bhumandala. So, there are some modern calculations also. And Bhumandala, in Gayatri Mantra we recite, right? Bhur Bhuvasvaha. So that Bhur is referring to Bhumandala, Prabhupada says. Savitur Varenyam means the sunshine spreads throughout Bhumandala, like that. And stars are nakshatras. So nakshatras are not different suns, as some people may give their opinion. But nakshatras are similar to the moon. They reflect the sunlight. So these are few things that Prabhupada mentions in the purport. Second verse, please read.
My dear Lord, the rolling wheels of Maharaj Priyavrata's chariot created seven ditches in which the seven oceans came into existence. Because of these seven oceans, Bhumandala is divided into seven islands. You have given a very general description of their measurement, names and characteristics. Now I wish to know of them in detail. Kindly fulfill my desire.
So, in the first chapter of fifth canto, there is a description that Priyavrat went on his chariot, and there were seven ditches created, seven oceans were created, seven islands were created. So, Parikshit Maharaj wanted to know more about those details. Read the third verse.
When the mind is fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in its external feature, made of the material modes of nature, the gross universal form, it is brought to the platform of pure goodness. In that transcendental position, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, who in his subtler form is self-effulgent and beyond the modes of nature. O my Lord, please describe vividly how that form, which covers the entire universe, is perceived.
So, here, Parikshit Maharaj, maybe he had some 3-4 days to live more, right? So, four cantos he heard, so like a significant portion of his 7 days period before death is exhausted, he has little more time to live. But still, he is convinced and he is eager to hear about the expanse of Bhumandala and about the details of Lord's external energy also, right? So, Prabhupada very nicely explains in the purport how Parikshit Maharaj's eagerness to hear about the material world, the expansion of the material world, is also spiritual. It is very important. So, Prabhupada writes, following Guru's advice, spiritual master's advice, Parikshit Maharaj is continuously thinking about the universal form. So, his thinking about universal form, which is material, is not material. So, universal form is material, but Parikshit Maharaj thinking about it and inquiring about it is not material. It is totally spiritual. Why? Prabhupada nicely explains that everything is an expansion of Supreme Personality of Godhead's energy. So, ultimately nothing is material, right? Because it has a spiritual source. And all the material aspects can also be engaged in the Lord's service. So, Prabhupada quotes this verse, Prapanchakataya Buddhya Harisambandhi Vastunaha. Right? Mumukshigu parityago vairagyam phalgu katyate. Rejecting that this is material. Okay? That is phalgu vairagya. But understanding its spiritual nature, understanding the connection between that material object with the Supreme Lord, and intending to engage that material object in Lord's spiritual service is spiritual. So that is very nice. It's not that Parikshit Maharaj is attached to the material world. He is asking so many details about material world, that doesn't mean he is attached. For example, somebody may want to procure some land for building an apartment for himself. He is inquiring details. So what is the market rate, right? How much is the area? So who are the neighbors? So all those kind of things. Is it close to cinema hall? Is it close to departmental stores? So all this he may inquire. Then he is attached to that place. But Parikshit Maharaj's inquiry about the details of material nature, material universe, is not out of attachment to stay there, but to know Lord's, the expanse of Lord's energy. He identified its connection with the Supreme Lord. Idam hi Vishwam Bhagavanam Vetara. Entire universe is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although it appears different from Him. Even senses, our material senses, they become spiritual when they are engaged in the Lord's service. Right? So Parikshit Maharaj was thinking about the relationship of universe with the Lord. Right? So this, his inquiry for geographical knowledge was not material but transcendental. Like that. So, yeah, Prabhupada gives this example. Even within the realm of Krishna consciousness also, we have to many times deal with property and managerial issues, right? They are not material. As long as we are doing some managerial activity or dealing with matter, money, etc., as a service to Krishna, they are not material, they are spiritual. And but still, we are dealing with matter, how can we be protected? Right? We are struggling sadhagas. Prabhupada says, if someone chants 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra very rigidly, if he follows this principle, regulative principle, then his dealings with the material world for spreading Krishna consciousness are equal to spiritual cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Right? As a part of spreading Krishna consciousness, he may have to deal with matter, he may have to deal with some managerial issues, but still, as long as he chants 16 rounds, they become a part of his sadhana. Right? And Chakravarti Bhag interestingly says, Parikshit Maharaj is asking this question at the request of Bhakti Mishra Yogis there. So in the gathering, there are some Bhakti Mishra Yogis also present. So for their benefit, our Parikshit Maharaj is asking about the details of the universe, not for himself. Right? So, even in the 10th canto also, Parikshit Maharaj asks, why Krishna performed Rasa Leela? Why he had to dance in the middle of the night with someone else's wives? How is it justified? So Parikshit asked like that. So it's not that Parikshit was doubting the character of Krishna. So Parikshit was inquiring, he's placing this inquiry in front of Sukadeva Goswami so that others can be benefited. So he may have some 3-4 days to live, still he is thinking about others' benefit. So that is the nature of Parikshit Maharaj. Right. So one more thing here, by hearing the creation pastimes of the Lord, we will be convinced of Lord's greatness. Then we can appreciate the sweetness of Lord's pastimes. Before we enter the 10th canto, right, in whatever, June, July, so before that we have to and go through these 9 cantos, right, and understand the greatness of the Lord. Then we can appreciate the sweetness of the Lord in the 10th canto. Right. So that is very important. So these are not some redundant details. We have to put our best efforts to understand this. At the same time, every person has certain capacity to understand this kind of technical things. So if it's getting too difficult, he can avoid few things, right? But still a honest attempt to understand this has to be made. Like that. Even Vidura also in the beginning, he questions about the Purusha Avatars. In the 3rd canto, 5th chapter, we remember, Vidura asks questions. First inquiry is about Purushavataras. So how is Lord creating this material world through the medium of Purushavataras? That is his first inquiry. Then Leela Avataras and other things are coming. Right. So Prabhupada says, Vidura's inquiries may appear to fall below his level of devotion. Right, Krishna, Vidura is qualified to hear the intimate pastimes of Krishna with his devotees. Right, but still, he is asking about Purushavataras, how did Srishti Leela. He didn't directly inquire about Rasa Leela. He is asking about Srishti Leela. Right? So this may appear to be indirect and apparently ordinary questions. So Prabhupada in the purport, he says that these are questions for a common man. So a common man cannot understand Lord. That is why great devotees, when they inquire on behalf of the common man. Because common man doesn't have the intelligence, what question to ask only. So better let me ask on their behalf. That is the attitude of a great devotee. And on top of it, they are naturally humble. So they think that I cannot directly inquire about the intimate leelas of the Lord. I have to first hear about his creation pastimes. Out of their humility also they ask. So, this is about Parikshit Maharaj's inquiry. Answer to this is next many chapters. Yeah, please read the fourth question. Now Sukadeva Goswami is beginning to answer from the fourth verse.
The great Rishi Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King, there is no limit to the expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's material energy. This material world is a transformation of the material qualities, sattva-guna, rajo-guna and tamo-guna. Yet no one could possibly explain it perfectly, even in a lifetime as long as that of Brahma. No one in the material world is perfect, and an imperfect person could not describe this material universe accurately, even after continued speculation. O King, I shall nevertheless try to explain to you the principal regions, such as Bhu, Goloka, Bhuloka, where with their names, forms, measurements and various symptoms."
So here, when Parikshit Maharaj inquired about the expansion of Bhumandala and this universal structure, Sukadeva Goswami is expressing his inability to completely explain these things. So this is just a transformation of modes. But still, no one in this material world can perfectly explain. Even in a lifetime of Brahma. And even after continued speculation. So, it's not my sound, no? Resound something. Okay. Some popular. Okay. So still, I will explain some principal reasons. So some principal areas I will explain. Right? So Parikshit Sukadeva Goswami himself is also expressing his inability here. So Prabhupada says, Sukadeva Goswami wants to explain whatever he has received through the parampara. Right? So all details I may not know, but whatever I have heard from my superiors, whatever I understood, I will repeat. So that is the attitude of all speakers. Right? Prabhupada says in NOI and NOD, NOI I think. So this should be the mood of all preachers. Right? They are just representing the parampara and just repeating their teachings. So no one should take credit for whatever they are speaking. So that's important. So here Sukadeva Goswami says, even in a lifetime of Brahma, one cannot explain. Prabhupada says, even Brahma cannot explain this. What to speak of scientists? Right? Scientists cannot understand things of even one universe. Right? What they will explain about the whole universal structure and other things. So Prabhupada says, very striking statement. One should be satisfied with the information from Vedic sources as spoken by authorities like Sukadeva Goswami. Be satisfied there. You can't experiment in them, you can't figure out better than what is given in Shastras. So better you stick to the authorities. You stick to Shastras. Okay, stick to what Sukadeva Goswami is speaking here. Right? You don't try to figure out. So we need to understand there are two lessons here in Sukadeva Goswami's reply, in the beginning of his reply. One thing is the greatness of Lord's external energy. So Sukadeva Goswami is expressing his inability to explain these things, means how great it should be. So he spoke entire 12 cantos of Bhagavatam in 7 days without having a PPT or just putting some notes in front of him. He just spoke like that. All Sanskrit verses he was speaking. So he is saying, I can't explain. So we can understand, when Sukadeva Goswami is expressing his inability, we can understand how great and what is the extent of Lord's material energy. That's one thing. And even Maitreya says, where 3.6, Tathapi kirtayamyanga yathamati yathashritam kirtim harem samsatkartam giram anyabhida asatim. 3.6, he described the universal form so much in detail, third canto, sixth chapter. Then later he says, this is what I know, there is much more to speak, but I don't know much. So I just spoke whatever I can. Otherwise, my speaking power will remain unchaste. That was the mood of Sukadeva or Maitreya. Then Brahmaji also says in second canto, Narada Muni, I cannot understand. Right? So Sutta Goswami and so many speakers of Bhagavatam, they are expressing their inability. We need to understand how great they are. How great the Lord's glories are. That even such orators are unable to explain. Second thing is the humility of Bhagavatam speaker. However much he can explain, but still he always feels that I am incapable. Right? Whatever may be their capacity to glorify, he always feels that I am incapable. I just speak for my purification. I don't know much. Right? And hearer, the person who is hearing is very magnanimous to give me an opportunity to glorify Krishna. These are the attitudes of a speaker. Right? So several speakers within the Bhagavatam itself are having this kind of disposition, humble attitude. Right? So Sukadeva Goswami here is honestly revealing his inability. So, basically we need to understand in our sadhana and swadhyaya, the primary aspect is to fix our mind on Krishna. And the secondary aspect is to know the details. Right? Someone who gives more importance to secondary aspect without giving importance to the primary aspect of fixing mind on Krishna, he may eventually become proud. Right? So, is my memorizing so many hundreds of slokas or remembering so many details of universal structure or some creation or other things increasing my false pride or fixing my mind more on Krishna? That's what we need to understand. Right? So, the purpose of knowing so many details is by knowing the vastness of creation, we need to understand the greatness of Krishna so that we can appreciate his sweetness in his leelas with his devotees, with Yashoda Mai, with gopis or with other gopas. So that is important. Prabhupada says, if one cannot comprehend material expansions of Supreme Personality of Godhead, one certainly cannot estimate the expansiveness of spiritual world. Advaita Machitamana Adimananta Rupam Adyam Purana Purusham Navayavarancha. So Lord's glories and expansions are unlimited. You are unable to understand an insignificant portion of Lord's greatness, which is just one universe in amongst the millions of universes coming out of Mahavishnu's sweat pores. What you will understand the spiritual world? So that should be the understanding. So now Sukadeva Goswami begins to answer. So now from here onwards you can see the PowerPoint. So this PowerPoint is basically a pictorial representation of what is written in the verses. Right? So wherever purports are coming, we'll discuss them. Otherwise, details. I don't have much to explain here. Everything is just given. So I'm just putting everything in pictorial format so that it's easy for us to just remember and recollect. Okay, fifth verse, right? So the planetary system known as Bhumandala resembles a lotus flower, like this. And its seven islands resemble the whorl of that flower. So this is like middle of the lotus flower. Bhumandala is like lotus and the seven islands is like the middle. Then the length and breadth of the island known as Jambudvipa. So there are seven islands. The middlemost, the middle one is called Jambudvipa. So you please read, someone read, we can.
The planetary system known as Bhumandala resembles a lotus flower, and its seven islands resemble the whorl of that flower. The length and breadth of the island known as Jambudvipa, which is situated in the middle of the whorl, are 1 million yojanas, 8 million miles. Jambudvipa is round like the leaf of a lotus flower.
So in the middle, and read the sixth verse also.
In Jambudvipa, there are 9 divisions of land, each with a length of 9,000 yojanas, 72,000 miles. There are 8 mountains that mark the boundaries of these divisions and separate them nicely.
So, a brief description of Jambudvipa is given. The details will be there in the next verses. So, it's in the middle, and Prabhupada says it's 1 million yojanas, right? 1 million is what? 10 lakhs, right? But it's actually 1 lakh. right? According to all other descriptions and the future descriptions in this chapter only, it's 10 lakhs, 1 lakh. It's 1 lakh yojanas. So then there are 9 verses in this. Middlemost is Ilavrita, and the expanse of the width of each of those verses is 9000. We will see how it is. Then there are 8 mountain ranges separating them. So all the details we will see in future. Right. Yeah, please read the 7th verse.
Amidst these divisions of varshas is the varsha named Ilavrata, which is situated which is situated in the middle of the whorl of the lotus.
So this is a saltwater ocean. Where is it coming from in Alaphisadan? You already know to some extent, but we will see the description of this will come in future. So there are 7 islands, right? So the middlemost island is Jambudvipa, right? So this Jambudvipa is surrounded by saltwater ocean. Beyond that are Plakshadvipa and other things, sugarcane juice, water, all that. So now within this Jambudvipa, there is a middlemost Varsha. Varsha means it's a tract of land. It's a division of land. That is called Ilavrita Varsha. Right? Please go ahead.
Within Ilavrita Varsha is Sumeru Mountain, which is made of gold.
So it's in the middle, is a golden mountain, Sumeru Mountain. Yes.
Sumeru Mountain is like the prikarp of the lotus, like Bhumandala planetary system.
So it is like a perikarp. So now you see the, now in the previous slide you have seen the top view. Now you see the side view. This is the Bhumandala. This yellow circle is Bhumandala. Then this is Ilavrita Varsha, and this is the Sumeru Mountain. It's golden mountain. So in a lotus, we see that yellow thing coming out, pericarp. So that Sumeru Mountain is representing that pericarp. So it looks something similar to that. Yes, go ahead.
The mountain's height is the same as the width of Jambudvipa.
So what is the width of Jambudvipa? 1 lakh. 1 lakh yojanas. So height of this mountain is also 1 lakh yojanas. Yes, go ahead.
Of that, 16,000 yojanas are within the earth, and therefore the mountain's height above the earth is 84,000 yojanas.
So now what is seen outside is 84,000 yojanas only, the height of the mountain. So remaining 16,000 is below the surface, below the earth, right? Yes.
Mountain's width is 32,000 yojanas, and its summit, and at its summit, and 16,000 yojanas at its base.
So 32,000 on the top and 16,000 at the base, right? So this is not a it's coming inverted cone. It's often compared to inverted cone. So the surface there is much more compared to the base, right? 16,000 and 32,000. Yes, please read.
Just north of Ilavrita Varsha and going further northward, one after another, there are 3 mountains named Neel, Sweta and Shringavan.
So now coming back to the top view again. So this is Ilavrita Varsha and this is Sumeru Mountain. So mountain structure we have seen. So north, the north and east are mentioned here, are given here. So towards the north of this Sumeru Mountain or Ilavrita Varsha, we have 3 mountain ranges. Their names are Neela, Sweta and Shringavan. Yes, Prabhu, read.
These mark the borders of the 3 Varshas named Ramyaka, Hiranmaya and Kuru, and separate them from one another.
So in the middle you see this yellow patches are Ramyaka Varsha, Hiranmaya Varsha and Kuru Varsha, and all the 3 mountain ranges are separating these 3 Varshas. Okay. Yes.
The width of these mountains is 2000 yojanas.
Width is 2000 yojanas, mountain ranges.
Lengthwise they extend east and west to the beaches of the ocean of salt water.
So east and west towards the beaches of salt water ocean. Okay, these 2 sides. Yes.
Going from south to north, the length of each mountain is 1/10 that of the previous mountain, but the height of them all is the same.
Height is same, that is 10,000. Length is, it says 1/10, but actual calculations are not coming exactly like that. Right, if you see the circle and other things. Yes, go ahead.
Similarly, south of Ilavrita Varsha and extending from east to west are 3 great mountains named from north to south, Nishada, Hemakuta and Himalaya. Each of them is 10,000 yojanas high. They mark the boundaries of the three varshas named Harivarsha, Kimpursha Varsha and Bharat Varsha.
Harivarsha, Kimpursha Varsha, Bharat Varsha. So three varshas are below Ilavrata and Nishadha, Hemakuta and Himalaya are separating these three varshas. Yes.
In the same way, west and east of Ilavrata Varsha are two great mountains named Malyavan and Gandhamadana respectively.
Malyavan and Gandhamadana. You see here on either side of Ilavrata Varsha. Yes.
These two mountains, which are 2000 yojanas high, extend as far as Neela Mountain in the north and Nishadha in the south.
So they are connecting Nishadha and Neela. Right? Neela and Nishadha they are connecting. Gandhamadana.
They indicate the borders of Ilavrata Varsha and also the Varshas known as Ketumala and Bhadrashava.
So on the left side of Ilavrata Varsha is Ketumala Varsha, right side is Bhadrashava Varsha. So this Malyavan and Gandhamadana are separating. So Ilavrata happens to be a square. Right? You see, read the next verse also.
On the four sides of great mountain known as Sumeru are four mountains.
Okay, yeah, stop there. So, we read till 10th verse. Here, now the total width of this Jambudvipa is how much? 1 lakh. So, 1 lakh. And this Ilavrata, the dimension is 34,000 width. Width is 34,000. Right? So, if Gandhamadana and Malyavan take 2000 each width, then it will become 38. What is remaining is 62. 31 is Ketumala Varsha and 31,000 is Bhadrashava Varsha. That is the dimensions of this. Then the width of these three mountains above and three mountains below, so they are 2000 and the height is 10,000. Right? And same height, all are of same height. Malyavan and Gandhamadana height is 2000 only. It's mentioned, it's a little shorter. Then the width varies according to the circle. Right? I will show the widths of everything, calculated widths. So there are some points from Prabhupada's purport. Again, Prabhupada says, just hear from Bhagavatam. No experiments. Right? He says, there are so many mountains on this earth also. Right? So, but people have no ability to calculate the dimensions of those mountains on the earth only. Right? What to speak of comprehending the dimensions of the mountains of the universe, universal mountains, which are separating such great tracts of land. So Prabhupada says, be satisfied with the statements of authorities and appreciate how large external energy manifests the cosmos. Right? This is what we have to do after hearing all this. Prabhupada says, our experimental knowledge can neither verify nor disprove the statements of Bhagavatam. Can you disprove? Can you say it is not 9,000, it is 10,000? You can't say. Better accept. Right? Can you verify? You can't verify also. Just on the giving credit to the person who is speaking, giving credit to the scripture, Granthavatara, the book which is mentioning it, you just accept the truths. So, like that. This requires a lot of faith. So, Prabhupada says, if you have faith, you can go ahead. Otherwise, you can't move ahead. Don't attempt to experimentally understand. Don't attempt to disprove. These are the dimensions. See, and within each box, so we have the dimensions. For example, Nishadha Mountain, length, width, height. Length is 93,300 yojanas. Right? Width is 2000, height is 10,000. So width and height are same for all the six ranges. The top three and bottom three. Right? Gandhamadana and Malyavan, the height is 34,000. Width is 2000, height is also 2000, the length is 34,000. So we have seen it is 1 lakh, this total is 1 lakh. So 34,000 are here, 34,000 are here, 2000 each, the mountains. And in the middle portion, Ilavrata's length is 34,000. And Chakravartipa says Ilavrata is a square. So the height is also 34,000. So this is 34,000. And let's focus on the southern part. Each of these mountain ranges are taking 2000 yojanas each. So this 34 plus 2000, 222, total 6000. So So 34 plus 6 becomes 40. Above there are 3 more. So total 46. So remaining 54 is divided among the 6 varshas. That is 9,000 each. So the height means what I am saying is width. Where is this? The width of each varsha, right, below and above, these 6 varshas, the width of each of these varshas is 9,000. Calculation is clear? So there are 6 varshas. There are 3 varshas below Ilavrata, there are 3 varshas above Ilavrata. So the width of each of those varshas is 9,000. The width of the mountains between those varshas is 2,000. Right? So 9 6 are 54 plus 6 2 are 12. Total 68 plus 66 plus this 34,000 of Ilavrata. So that makes it total 1 lakh. Horizontally 1 lakh, vertically 1 lakh. Right? Then what else is there? So these are all like according to circles. Yeah, 1/10 is somehow not matching. In the which verse? 8th verse? 8th verse says, going from north to south, the length of each mountain is 1/10 of the previous mountain, but the height is the same. So he says Sveta's width, Sveta's length is 1/10 of Nila. So if Nila is, see the middle portion, if you draw a line in the middle, so that becomes 1 lakh yojanas. So now if you go little above, it is 93,300 yojanas. So 1/10 of that will be how much? Yeah, 9.3 kilo, means 9,300. So it's not happening that way. If we are, just go 9,000 miles above and then draw a line there, right, mountain range. So it's not coming to 1/10. 1/10 will be too small. Correct. So, yes, Prabhu, you have any? These are calculated ones, Prabhu. These are calculated by one of our devotees in the previous batch. This 83 numbers. Width is 2,000, no? Height is 34,000. Malian height is 2000, width is also 2000, length is 34,000. You see, when we say length, width and height, length is the longest part, width is the, you know, shortest, height is, we know, understand, right? 2000 height, that's what we said, na? Width is also 2000. So it is like this. So now this is the width. So this is 2000. So this is 34,000 and height. So this height, you see, that is also 2000. Okay, the height is 2000. Okay, the width is 2000, but the length is 34,000. That is the Malyavan and Gandhamadan. So this is still 10th verse. Malayan and Gandhamadan both are similar. Gandhamadan, is it this Gandhamadan? I don't know. Someone knows? You can share. It could be this Gandhamadan, or there could be some other Gandhamadan also. Priyavrat? And Gandhamadan Hill. That is also mentioned, correct. Right. I don't know. So this number is calculated by one of our devotees, this which makes sense. Yeah, according to 10th verse of Bhagavatam, it should be 1/10. Then the calculation becomes very simple. 9.3k, k is 3 zeros, you know, 9.3k, 0.93k, that's how it becomes. But somehow the height 9,000 is not fitting. Right? I'm not sure. Okay, next. So this part is fine, right? Apart from 1/10, other things are clear, right? Even I don't have much clarity. Actually, Radhavalla Prabhu, you can ask him. He is taking the next session of universe structure whenever he comes back from Mayapur. So then he can throw more light on that 110th thing. Yes, Prabhu, please read the next verse from 11th verse onwards.
On the four sides of the great mountain known as Sumeru are four mountains, Mandara, Meru Mandara, Suparshva and Kumuda.
Okay, so we read after one sentence, you give a pause. So this is Sumeru. So now I am zooming into the Ilavrata only. Okay, Ilavrata, you see, you are identifying this image. So this is Ilavrata Varsha in the middle. Then we have right side and left side, we have Malyavan and Gandhamadan. And Bhadrasva Varsha and Ketumala Varsha. Below is Nishada and above is Neela. So this is the Ilavrata scene. So in the middle is Sumeru. So Sumeru also. What was the width of Sumeru at the base? You remember? 16,000. So what is the total width of Ilavrata? 34,000. And Sumeru is in the middle. So in this 34,000, 16,000 that width is occupied by Sumeru. So how much is remaining? 18. So 18 is 9,000 is this side, 9,000 is that side. So that is the calculation. Meru or Sumeru, both are same. Two names. Mukha and Padmamukha. Padmamukha and Padma. Yeah, go ahead.
The length and height of these mountains.
Sorry, we read right. There are four mountains and four sides. So then on the north we have Kumuda mountain, then east Mandara, then Meru Mandara bottom, then on the west we have Suparshva. So four mountains. Yeah, read.
The length and height of these mountains are calculated to be 10,000 yojanas.
So these length and height are 10,000 yojanas. So the length, this whole part, that is 10,000. And height is 10,000. Yeah, go ahead.
Standing like flagstaffs on the summit of these four mountains are a mango tree, a rose apple tree, a kadamba tree and a banyan tree.
So there are four trees. You see, on the east, on the top of Mandara mountain, we have a mango tree. The name of that mango tree is Devachuta. And we have a rose apple, jambu tree. That is on top of Meru Mandara. Right? And Kadamba tree is there on the top of Suparshva mountain. And there is a banyan tree with so many, you know, hangings. What is that called? The roots. So they are hanging. So the width and height of each of these trees is 100 by 1100. Right? All trees are of the same size. Right? Fruits are different, but size is same. Yes, Prabhu, read.
Those trees are calculated to have a width of 100 yojanas and a height of 1100 yojanas. Their branches also spread to a radius of 1100 yojanas.
Okay. Yes, please.
O Maharaj Parikshit, the best of the Bharat dynasty, between these four mountains are four huge lakes. The water of the first tastes
so
like...
So here Prabhupada says, between these mountains. So then I kept these images in the middle. The Chakravarti Pad says, on these mountains. On top of these mountains. On these mountains. I kept it here. So what exactly it is, I am not sure. Right? Connected to those mountains are, there are lakes. So the lakes, on the lake on Mandara mountain, yeah, read through.
The water of the first tastes like milk.
Yeah, milk. The water of the lake on top of Mandara mountain tastes like milk.
The water of the second like honey.
Honey.
And that of the third like sugarcane juice. The fourth lake is filled with pure water.
Pure water. Okay, these are the lakes, four lakes. So, yes.
The celestial beings such as Siddhas, Charanas and Gandharvas, who are also known as demigods, enjoy the facilities of those four lakes. Consequently, they have the natural perfection of mystic yoga, such as the power to become smaller than the smallest or greater than the greatest. There are also four celestial gardens named Nandan, Chaitrarata, Vaibrajaka and Sarvotbhadra.
Sarvotbhadra. So, around these lakes are gardens also. Nandana, then Chitraratha, Vibhrajika and Sarvatobhadra. So these are the gardens. Yes, true.
The best of the demigods along with their wives, who are like ornaments of heavenly beauty, meet together and enjoy within those gardens, while their glories are sung by lesser demigods known as Gandharvas.
So demigods come and enjoy there. The leader demigods are managerial demigods, and the follower demigods are some servant demigods. They come and glorify them. So they come and enjoy on top of this. Yes.
On the lower slopes of Mandara mountain is a mango tree named Devachuta. It is 1100 yojanas high. Mangoes as big as mountain peaks and as sweet as nectar fall from the top of this tree for the enjoyment of the denizens of
heaven. The tree is 100 yojanas width, means 100 into 8, 800 miles width, and the height is 1100 yojanas. So there are big, huge mangoes are falling from such a height, right? Not an head of somebody. So they are falling from such height and they are creating rivers of mango juice. Yes? Yeah, right? No need to grind it. Just for drop from such a height and the juice is automatically made. Yes, true.
When all those solid fruits fall from such a height, they break and the sweet fragrant juice within them flow out and becomes increasingly more fragrant as it mixes with other scents. That juice cascades from the mountain in waterfalls and becomes a river called
Arunoda,
which flows pleasantly through the eastern side of Ilavrata.
So eastern side of Ilavrata, this is east, right? So on top of it and from the top of Mandara mountain, so this mango river, mango juice river will flow. Okay, the river's name is Arunoda. Okay, yes.
The pious wives of the Yakshas act as personal maid servants to assist Bhavani, the wife of Lord Shiva.
Actually in Ilavrata Varsha, so each of these Varshas, there are 9 Varshas, right? So each of these Varshas have a predominating deity. So the predominating deity of Ilavrata Varsha that we are discussing is Lord Sankarshan. Okay, and the worshipper, the predominant worshipper of Sankarshan in this Varsha is Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva's wife is Bhavani. And Bhavani is served by so many maid servants. Right, there are only ladies in Ilavrata Varsha, no gents. The only male is Shiva. Right, so all these ladies, they take bath in this Arunoda river. And their bodies become fragrant. And that fragrance is just spread for millions of, for miles, so many miles. Yes, Prabhu.
Because they drink the water of the river Arunoda, their bodies become fragrant. And as the air carries away that fragrance, it perfumes the entire atmosphere for 80 miles around. Similarly, the fruits of the jambu tree, which are full of pulp and have very small seeds, fall from a great height and break to pieces.
So very big size fruits with small jambu with very small seeds, right, they are falling from the height of 1100 yojanas, right, 8800 miles, and they are becoming a river. Yes.
Those fruits are the size of elephants and the juice gliding from them become a river named Jambu Nadi.
Elephant, there is a big elephant. Right, you take a fruit of big size elephant and then make juice out of it. So how many bellies it can fill? Each person may take 200 ml or half liter. Right? So it's like one full yatra, we can run the show with only one elephant, one fruit only. There are so many such fruits with insignificant size seeds. They're falling from such a height, so such a big river is created. Yes, Prabhu.
This river falls a distance of 10,000 yojanas from the summit of Meru Mandara to the southern side of Ilavrata and floods the entire land of Ilavrata with juice.
Entire land of Ilavrata is covered with jambu juice. Okay. Yes, further glories.
The mud on both banks of river Jambu Nadi, being moistened by the flowing juice and then dried by the air and the sunshine, produces huge quantities of gold called Jambu Nada.
So, the mud on both sides of the river that come in contact with this Jambu river water, okay, and it becomes gold. Mud becomes gold. Okay. Jambu juice plus mud plus sunshine, the equation, chemical equation, gives rise to gold. Yes.
The denizens of heaven use this gold for various kinds of ornaments.
Ornaments are created, yes.
Therefore, all the inhabitants of the heavenly planets and their youthful wives are fully decorated with golden helmets, bangles and bells, and thus they enjoy life.
Okay. So ornaments are made and the demigods' wives will wear them. Yes.
On the side of Suparshva mountain stands a big tree called Mahakadamba, which is very
Kadamba tree. Now the description is going to the western side. Suparshva mountain, on top of it there is a Kadamba tree. Right? Yes.
From the hollows of this tree flow
from the hollows of this tree. It's not, now the river is not formed with the fruits of Kadamba. So it is hollows of this tree. Yes.
Flow five rivers of honey, each about five vyamas wide. This
Vyama
this
is given in the purport. You go ahead.
This flowing honey falls incessantly from the top of Suparshva mountain and flows all around Ilavrita Varsha, beginning from the western side. Thus the whole land is saturated with a pleasing fragrance.
So Vyama is the distance between two hands. When somebody spreads like this, so the distance between these two hands is Vyama, which is around 8 feet. Right? Okay, then this river flowing from the hollows of this Kadamba tree is creating a honey river. Five rivers. Yes.
The air carrying the scent from the mouths of those who drink that honey perfumes the land for 100 yojanas around.
They drink the honey and their mouth becomes fragrant. For 100 yojanas. How much fragrance is coming? Yes. They don't need mouth fresheners and other things. They drink some honey. Yes.
Similarly, on Kumuda mountain, there is a great banyan tree, which is called Satavalsha because it has 100 main branches.
100 main branches. So 100 rivers will flow from this. Yes.
From those branches come many roots, from which many rivers are flowing. These rivers flow down from the top of the mountain to the northern side of Ilavrita Varsha for the benefit of those who live there. Because of these flowing rivers, all the people have ample supplies of milk, yogurt, honey, clarified butter, molasses, food grains, clothes, bedding, sitting places and ornaments. All the objects they desire are sufficiently supplied for their prosperity and therefore they are very happy.
So these 100 rivers, they are giving some natural products, milk, yogurt, honey, ghee, etc. So they are giving to the people there. So because of this, the whole human society is becoming happy. Right? Yeah, we'll discuss the purports later. We'll cover the description first. Yes. 100 different things. 100 different things, like Prabhupada's, the verse says only few here. So the 100 different rivers are mentioned. Each are giving, you know, some natural products. Okay. Because of these flowing rivers, all the people have ample supplies of milks. So here, because of these flowing rivers, they are getting some ample supplies of all these natural products. So 100 different rivers, it's not very clear. 100 different products. Yes.
The residents of the material world who enjoy the products of these flowing rivers have no wrinkles on their bodies and no grey hair. They never feel fatigue and perspiration does not give their bodies a bad odor. They are not afflicted by old age, disease or untimely death. They do not suffer from chilly cold or scorching heat. Nor do their bodies lose their luster. They all live very happily without anxieties until death.
So we'll discuss the purport in detail, but in short, Prabhupada says, how can human society live happily? By having access to natural products, not industries and other things. Right? When people have ample supplies of milk, yogurt, honey, etc., then bedding, sitting places and all other things, then they can be happy. Yes, Prabhu, go ahead.
There are other mountains beautifully arranged around the foot of Mount Meru, like the filament.
So now we have discussed about the four mountains, right? And the details, the trees respective to each of those mountains, and the lakes and gardens and the rivers coming out of those mountains. So now there are more mountains. Yes. They are called Kesarachala mountains. 26th verse explains us, they are Kesarachala mountains.
Their names are Kuranga, Kurara, Kushumbha, Vaikanka, Trikuta, Shishira, Patanga, Ruchaka, Nishada, Shinivasa, Kapila, Shankha, Vaidurya, Jarudi, Hamsa, Rishabha, Naga, Kalanjara and Narada.
So, It's mentioned there are 20, but there are only 19 names here. So the number is also not mentioned, but in some of the references 20 mountains are there, that is mentioned. 20 here. See, in the word-to-word meaning, 26th verse, Vimshati Girayaha, 20 mountains are there around, but only 19 names are given. Chakravarti just identifies it and then he leaves. No purport is given. Yes.
On the eastern side of Sumeru mountain are two mountains named Jataha and Devakota, which extend to the north and south for 18,000 yojanas. Mm. Similarly, on the western side of Sumeru are two mountains named Pavana and Pariyatra, which also extend north and south for the same distance.
Mm.
On the southern side of Sumeru are two mountains named Kailasha and Karavira, which extend east and west for 18,000 yojanas. And on the northern side of Sumeru, extending for the same distance, east and west, are two mountains named Trishanga and Makara.
Makara. So, first four are there. In the next set, we have eight. Two mountains on each side. So, Trishanga and Makara on top, northern side. So, the length of this is 18,000. And height is 2,000. And the width is also 2,000. So, this applies to all these mountains. The Jathara and Devakota on the east, west, north, south, all the four mountains, four pairs of mountains are of the having the same size. And the positioning of this Kesharachala mountain, this ring you see, big ring, so that is 20 mountains, Kesharachala mountains, right? So, the positioning is, I am not very sure, right? Whether they are going outside these four pairs of mountains or inside, I am not sure. But from the Vedic Cosmos video and the TOVP video, we understand that these four mountains, Kumuda Mandara, Meru Mandara and Suparshva, these four are the supporting mountains of Meru. Right? So Meru is standing like this and all others, these four are standing like this. Right? Supporting them. And other things, this Kesharachala 20 mountains, they are just coming out like filaments, like sticks only. Such their height is 84,000 yojanas only. That's very as big as Meru mountain. They're supporting. At the base it is small. At the base Meru mountain is small, and here that is 32,000, right? So they are little outside and then extending to the top. That's how the video also shows. We'll see the video also. Mandara, that is not very clear, Prabhu. So Mandara, we'll just go to that verse once again. Their length and height are given, but width is not clear. Where is this? Which verse, Prabhu? Verse?
Yeah.
No, Mandara, Meru Mandara. So there is some way we can, 11th verse, length and height are given. One more thing is given. On the four sides, great mountains, length and height of these mountains are celebrated to 10,000 yojanas. Yes, Prabhu. This is not clear. And one more thing is not clear. I'll have to... mountain, 20 Kesharachala mountains. So these are like supporting the main thing. One more which says, oh, that is there, I'm sorry. That is in the next section. So as far as things are given, they are there in this. Only thing which is not mentioned is the width of these four mountains and the positioning of this Kesharachala. Right, where exactly they are standing. They are not mentioned. So we'll see some video, so it may be a little more clear.
Requires karmic qualification. Consequently, much of suddenly it dawned on you, Australia. Here we find an abode of Lord Shiva, the greatest of the demigods. Oh,
most extraordinary divine golden mountain called Meru. Meru is shaped like an inverted cone, and it is the sporting place for the demigods. Around Meru are many supporting mountains called Kesara.
So these are the Kesara Chala mountains.
These sticks.
20 of them.
Jambudvipa is 0.8 million miles in diameter and is surrounded by the saltwater ocean.
This 0.8 million miles is also not very clear. Right? It's mentioned here 1 million by Prabhupada, but the Chakravartipad and other sources say they are, it's 1 lakh. So here this video says 0.8 million. Huh? 0.8 million miles. Then it's clear. So not the yojanas, I'm sorry. Miles.
Same width. On top of Mount...
This we didn't reach.
Meru is a resort of Brahma called Manovati.
This is the TVOP.
Planets and the pole star begins the realms of the universe which are totally invisible to human eyes. Maha, Jana, Satya and Tapa star are the residents of Mount Temple of his divine grace and the Vedic version. Looking up from the temple room floor, visitors will first see the form of Garbhadakshayi Vishnu lying on Anantashesha with Lakshmi Devi. Above him are the seven lower planetary systems, abodes of the Nagas, Daityas and Danavas, and above these is the plane of Bhumandala. In the model, this measures more than 13 meters across, with concentric rings representing the seven oceans and islands of Bhumandala. In the center rises Mount Meru, atop Jambudvipa.
All the mountains are like this. You see the trees, four mountains, on top of it there are trees. So these are the Kumuda and Merumandara, etc. Those four mountains, Suparshva. And these sticks are like Kesarachala mountains.
The central island of Bhumandala. The Puranas describe Jambudvip as having the form of a Yagyakund, with Mount Meru being like the blazing fire at the center of the kund. Thus, the earthly realm situated on Jambudvip is designated as a place to perform sacrifice within the universe. Above Jambudvip is Bhuvaloka, the residence of...
We just showed the Jambudvip part only. Golden. Okay, anything else, points for discussion within whatever we have discussed?
Predominating worshipper here, and he's the only
male. In the next
male.
Chapter it will come.
He's only male in this Ilavatvasa. But there's also description like demigods with their wives are coming. So
right.
Both are
so there. The residents are mentioned to be these wives of Yakshas and all, but many other people come as visitors there. It is also mentioned that whoever male is coming inside this Varsha, they will be turned into female by the power of Durga. But it's also mentioned that many other demigods with their wives will come. They are having some pleasure abodes only. These are like pleasure abodes. Means they come here for picnics only. They don't come to reside here. Right? Even Brahmaji, Indra and Yama, they also have picnic spots here. But they are not their residential planets. Their residential planets are somewhere else in the top. Right? But they keep visiting here. They have their visiting places. Anything else, Prabhu? Shall we go ahead with the next sections? Okay, now 11 to 27. This is the 17 verses, pictorial form of 17 verses. So now there are some purports also within these verses. So we'll discuss them. So in the 21st purport, where it mentions that the jambu juice is mixed with the mud and it turns into gold, and so many ornaments are made out of it, and all the ladies wear that. So in that context, Prabhupada mentions there are Kali Yuga people who are very proud of what? Their plastic ornaments and paper currency. But the actual prosperity, if you have to be proud of material prosperity, you should be proud of gold and other valuable things, not paper currency. Prabhupada is against this paper currency in many of his lectures also. Artificially they increase the rates, right, all that. Prabhupada detailedly speaks about this manda sumanda matayo, manda bhagya upadrata in this verse. Right, Kali Yuga people are so bad and slow to understand the Lord's opulence. Right, so they have such, their conceptions are so crippled that they accept a bluffer who claims to be God just because of his ability to create little gold. Right, if you are accepting someone who is creating little gold as God, so what to speak of Mahavishnu, from whose sweat pour so many millions of universes are coming out, and within each universe there is huge quantities of gold. Right, just in, within this universe only, there is a golden mountain only. Right, so Kali Yuga people cannot comprehend all this. They are so unfortunate people, they have no gold. They are poverty stricken. Even on material standards also, Kali Yuga people are so degraded that they can't possess some gold also. And they try to go to heavens for opulence. So in heavenly planets there is little more, there is more gold, so better we go there. So some karmis, they do some rituals and they try to go there. Right? But Prabhupada says this, there is a lot of description in the in these chapters, in these verses, about the opulence of heavenly residents. Right? Or the heavenly varshas. These eight varshas. In Jambudvipa we saw nine varshas are there. The bottommost is the Bharata Varsha. Remaining eight varshas are considered to be heavenly varshas. They are considered Bhaumaswarga, earthly heavens. So there is a lot of opulence there. People who are very pious will stay there. So Kali Yuga people, they may aspire to go to heavenly varshas or just heavens, heavenly planets, to enjoy more opulence. But devotees have no interest in that opulence. Right? Prabhupada gives this comparison. Gold is like the color of stool. Right? So devotees who are detached, they consider gold to be stool only. Then their prayer is Naganam Naganam Nasundari. Okay, they don't want gold. They don't want beautiful ladies who are ornamented with gold also. Nasundari. Ayinanda Tanaja Kinkaram. Prabhupada quotes all these verses. Aha Prabhu Nanda Sutta, Vrishabhana Sutta Sutta. Then Trivashapur Akasha Pushpayate. This important verse that Prabhupada quotes. What is this? We have Kaivalyam. Kaivalyam Narakayate Trivashapur Akasha Pushpayate Durdantendriya Kala Sarpapatali Proktaha Damshtrayate. Vishwam Purna Sukhayate Vidhimahendra Vishchakitayate Yat Karunya Kataksha Vaibhavavatam Tam Gauramyamastumaha. By Lord Gauranga's mercy, right, one can consider this Kaivalya as hell, impersonal liberation as hell. Then the opulence of the heavenly planets as phantasmagoria, as flowers that blossom in the sky. In sky will flowers blossom, right? They will blossom in our garden, right, or in any garden, but not in the sky. They just don't fall. Heavenly enjoyment is also like that, imaginary things. So Prabhupada quotes all this. Basically, while describing the details of this material world through his purports, Prabhupada is also reminding us the impermanence of this material world. Yes, there is so much opulence, so many details in this material world, but that's all impermanent. Yes, they stay as long as they stay for the period of Mahavishnu's breathing period only. Right? So, Prabhupada is reminding us of the impermanence of this material world and directing us what is worthy of aspiring for. By hearing so much description of a golden mountain or some Jambu Nadi flowing, don't aspire to go there. Aspire to penetrate through the coverings of this material universe and go to spiritual world only. Right? What should excite you is the description of Vaikuntha Loka. and the consciousness of Vaikuntha Vasis and Goloka Vasis, right? So Prabhupada reminds us all this. So, 8 heavenly varshas, Prabhu. So, we, in this, except Bharat Varsha, all other 8 are heavenly varshas. Meru is in the Bhumandala. Meru is in the Ilavrita Varsha, not Bharat Varsha. Actually, Prabhu, different devotees interpret it this way. So this is like as it is description of this place. Actually, that Bharat earthly planet is there. So some people interpret it as this whole Jambudvipa, our earthly planet, with India, Australia and all that, they interpret it as Jambudvipa, full Jambudvipa also, right? These are many other things can be questionable, debatable things. But according to the actual description of Bhagavatam, this is how things are. Himalaya is mentioned. So the Meru is an Ilavrita Varsha, not Bharat Varsha, this Meru. Yeah. Now that is in the 21st purport. So however comfortable a material planet or place may be, after all this is in the material world, it is temporary. Okay, and the enjoyment there is perishable. Right? So better get out of this place. Prabhupada keeps on reminding. Okay. Then in the 24th purport, Prabhupada mentions prosperity is not skyscrapers or automobiles, right? So 24th verse, what does it say? This Satavalsa Banyan tree on Mount Kumuda, on the northern side of Meru mountain, there is Satavalsa Banyan tree on top of mountain Kumuda. So from that, this banyan tree roots, hundred rivers flow, right? They give natural products like honey, milk, yogurt. You remember, right? So in that context, Prabhupada says, products of nature are sufficient. Milk, yogurt, honey, etc. They are sufficient. Prosperity is not in skyscrapers or automobiles. And how does that natural prosperity come? It comes, it depends on the sacrifices. Right? Annad bhavanti bhutani parjanya adanna sambhava. Ignad bhavati parjanyo igna karma samudbhava. So, for prosperity, we should follow the descriptions of Bhagavad Gita. Right, and we can expect happiness in this life and in the next life, even if we are looking for some material prosperity. Right, it's not in the artificial skyscrapers, like that. 24th purport. Then, in the 25th purport, Prabhupada says, what does 25th purport say? People, human society is living happily because of utilizing the natural products given by the river. Rivers, 100 rivers flowing from the Kumuda mountain. From the banyan tree. So in that context, Prabhupada says, the ideal condition of human society should be agriculture enterprises. The result is, there are ample food grains. But the current situation is, instead of having agriculture, people are having factories and manufacturing nuts, bolts, wine, automobiles, etc. Then, ideal condition is cow production. What is the result of that? Milk, yogurt, ghee and other cow products. Now, Upton, and all that. Cow shampoo. So current situation is, people are busy killing cows in slaughterhouses. Then, ideal condition is to protect forests, so that there is abundant honey. But the current situation is, people are cutting down trees. Yes, in the fourth canto, last chapters, Prabhupada said, cutting down forests is one of it. To create agricultural lands. When prachetas were coming out and then burning forests, Prabhupada writes in the purport, yeah, one can clear forest land to create agriculture, okay, and they can clear off unnecessary trees to grow food for people. That is bona fide. But cutting down trees just to create big factories and other things and pollute atmosphere, that is not very much encouraged. Like that. And forests, from forests there is a lot of firewood coming out and honey coming out. Prabhupada says, to be happy, adopt the Vedic civilization. Vedic civilization, if you follow the Vedic culture, then the natural supplies of milk, yogurt, honey, molasses, right, food grains, ornaments, bedding, sitting places, so all these are like natural prosperity. So they are available by following the Vedic culture. So these are the purports in that section. So that is still 27th verse. Now 28th verse. Please read, Prabhu.
In the middle of the summit of Meru is the township of Lord Brahma. Each of its four sides are calculated to extend for 10 million yojanas.
Mm.
It is made entirely of gold and therefore learned scholars and sages call it Saptakambhi.
So this verse tells us that on top of Mount Meru, this is a top view of Mount Meru. On top of Mount Meru, there is a abode of Brahmaji. So this is not Brahmalok. So Brahmaji comes and comes here. Right? 28. In the middle of summit of Mount Meru is the township of Brahma. He says, for each of its four sides is calculated to extend for 10 million yojanas. Where is 10 million yojanas here? Overall, Jambudvipa is 1 lakh yojanas. Right, 0.1 million. Then on top of it, this Meru mountain is 32,000 yojanas. So 10 million, if we take it literally, Ayuta yojana means 10,000 yojanas. So Ayuta means it's a big number. Chakravarti explains that Ayuta could mean it's a big number. Okay, it's not 10,000 or 10 million. It is a big number. Because if we consider this fact, it is extending beyond the race only. It's not fitting into the scene. That's why there is that some modification is mentioned. So Lord Shiva resides in Kailash. So we hear that. Correct. And he resides in Himalaya mountains also. That also we hear. But Lord Shiva is residing in Ilavrata Varsha also.
In the Ilavrata Varsha, there is 20 mountains.
Once, that Kailash may be different. There could be two mountains with the same name also. Right. Like Gandhamadana, we are confusing with Gandhamadana also. No? Where is that again? I think there is Gandhamadana in Tamil Nadu also, from Karnataka, somewhere near Rameshwaram also there is some Gandhamadana. I vaguely remember hearing it. Yeah. Oh, and Gandhamadana. Hampi, Maryavan. Oh, in Ramayana some of these names come. Okay. That is the faith Bhagavatam is looking for in the reader. Yes, so Brahmaji's abode is in the middle. Okay, next. Yeah, please read.
Surrounding Brahmapuri in all directions are the residences of eight principal governors of the planetary systems, beginning with King Indra. Mm. These abodes are similar to Brahmapuri but are one-fourth the size.
One-fourth the size. Right. Yes. Oh, names are not given. Names are in the purports. Tejavati, Amaravati, Tejavati, Samyamani. So all these names are mentioned in the purport. Right. The names of different abodes. All the devatas are there. They have their pleasure abodes on this. It's not Indraloka. This is not Amaravati. Yeah, you think place. Even for Brahmaji, Kuvera and all these people. Shiva also has one, Ishovati. Right? Temporary places. They, picnic spots. Right? They come there. Should we take a break? Before we begin the next chapter? North and East. Directions. Nirti. He is one of the demigods. I don't know about the details. Someone knows? This may not be that, for sure. He is asking about Niruti Prabhu. Who is this Niruti? So break.
Temple, right?
Hare Krishna. Next chapter 17. Here our narrator.
Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King, Lord Vishnu, the enjoyer of all sacrifices, appeared as Vamandev in the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. Then he extended his left foot to the end of the universe and pierced a hole in its covering with the nail of his big toe. Through the hole, the pure water of the casual ocean entered this universe as the Ganges River."
Casual ocean.
Casual. "Having washed the lotus feet of the Lord, which are covered with reddish powder, the water of the Ganges acquired a very beautiful pink color. Every living being can immediately purify his mind of material contamination by touching the transcendental water of the Ganges. Yet its waters remain ever pure. Because the Ganges directly touches the lotus feet of the Lord, before descending in within this universe. She is known as Vishnupadi. Later she received other names like Janvi and Bhagirathi. After 1000 millenniums, the water of the Ganges descends on Dhruvaloka, the topmost planet in this universe. Therefore, all learned sages and scholars proclaim Dhruvaloka to be Vishnupada, situated on Lord Vishnu's lotus feet.
It's a very long verse, prose. So, Ganga's one name is Vishnupadi, because touching the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Jahanavi, she gets her name, that name because this Jahnumuni, he swallows her. Right, when Bhagiratha did some tapas and then he just negotiated with Shiva, and then Ganga descends, and Ganga was flowing towards where that Sagara's descendants ashes are there. So then she was inundating this ashram of Jahnumuni, so he just drank her. So then Bhagiratha prayed to Jahnumuni and then he released from the ear, right? Then she became Jahnavi. Bhagirathi, because Bhagiratha was instrumental in bringing her to this earth. So she first descended to Dhruvaloka. That details we will see. So Dhruvaloka is called Vishnupada, because Vishnupadi is descending there. Right? Okay, Ganga purifies everyone internally and externally. Externally, body becomes immune to all kinds of disease purposes by taking bath in Ganga. Then internally, one gradually develops a devotional attitude towards Supreme Personality of Godhead by taking bath in the water that washed the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Then in India there are so many other glorious rivers like Kaveri, Godavari, Yamuna, Ganga, all that. So that makes India very glorious, people who are living close to those rivers, they are also very much advanced in spiritual consciousness naturally. So Prabhupada mentions all this. So that is about Ganga in the first verse. Yes, second verse, please read.
Dhruva Maharaj, the famous son of Maharaj Uttanpal, is known as the most exalted devotee of the Supreme Lord because of his firm determination in executing devotional service. Knowing that the sacred Ganges water washes the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, Dhruva Maharaj, situated on his own planet, to this very day accepts that water on his head with great devotion. Because he constantly thinks of Krishna very devoutly within the core of his heart, he is overcome with ecstatic anxiety. Tear flows from his half-open eyes and eruptions appear on his entire body.
So it actually depends on the consciousness of a person who is coming in contact with something sacred. So Dhruva Maharaj was remembering the connection of Ganga Devi, river Ganga, with Krishna, with Lord's lotus feet. Then he, in remembrance of Lord's lotus feet, he is taking that water on his head and then he is becoming ecstatic. He was getting tears by remembering Vishnu. This is a symptom of Mahabhagavata. Right, that was Dhruva Maharaj's consciousness. Many people may take bath in Ganga to dump their sins in Ganga, or because of other reasons. Right, but it depends on the consciousness. Activity may appear to be the same. So Dhruva Maharaj become ecstatic. Yes, Prabhu.
The seven great sages, Marichi, Vasishta, Atri and so on, reside on the planets beneath Dhruvaloka. Well aware of the influence of the water of the Ganges, to this day, they keep Ganges water on the tufts of hair on their heads. They have concluded that this is the ultimate wealth, the perfection of all austerities and the best means of prosecuting transcendental life. Having obtained uninterrupted devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they neglect all other beneficial processes like religion, economic development, sense gratification and even merging into the Supreme. Just as jnanis think that merging into the existence of the Lord is the highest truth, these seven exalted personalities accept devotional service as the perfection of life.
So the seven sages are accepting this Marichi, Vasishta, etc. They are accepting devotional service as the best path. So Prabhupada spoke in the purport how devotional service is the best of all paths. Right? Only by achieving pure devotional service can one give up all other engagements as insignificant. Right, Prabhupada establishes the superiority of bhakti compared to other processes, dhyana, etc. So, yogis have sense control. See, the one of the items which every transcendentalist, right, is aspiring for is this sense control. But the other paths, sense control is very difficult. Even if one happens to control his senses for a while, later when there is a temptation, he may fall into it. But bhakti, because bhakti has better engagement for senses, so senses will not be deviated by sense objects. Because the senses are having proper engagement in devotional service of the Lord. So like that, yoginam abhisarvesham madgatiyan antaratmana, Prabhupada quotes this. Right, kaivalyam narakayate, again, a very important verse. Kaivalyam narakayate tridesha purakasa pushpayate durdantendriya kala sarpa patali proktahadam shtayate vishvam purna sukhayate vidhimahendra vishchakitayate yatkarunyagataksa vaibhavavatam tam gaurame vastumah. So, to consider kaivalyam as naraka, as heavenly pleasures as just some phantasmagoria, right? One requires Gauranga's mercy. And durdantendriya kala sarpa patali proktaha dhamshtrayate. Devotee also has senses, but they act as if, see, senses are compared to snakes. When the snake's fangs are removed, so snake's biting doesn't have much effect. So similarly, devotees' senses, they are like snakes with fangs removed. They cannot cause any harm to his devotional life. Right? If he takes to the process of devotional service properly. Right? Then Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. Vishwam Purna Sukhayate means like whole universe will appear very blissful for a devotee. Because senses are no more disturbing him. He is totally absorbed in devotional service. So there is no scope for deviation of senses. Right? Okay. Now, coming to fourth part. There are some glories given there about the descent of Ganga and her glories, and how Dhruva Maharaj and seven sages consider her very glorious, and they give so much importance to her, and they always keep Ganga on top of their heads. Right? So that is mentioned. So from fourth verse onwards, Sukadeva Goswami describes the path of Ganga, descent. So the causal ocean is there, Karana ocean. So Vamandev pierced the covering and the Ganga is flowing from there. So what is the path? So that is mentioned from the fourth verse onwards. After purifying the seven planets near Grahaloka, the pole star, the Ganges water is carried through the spaceways of the demigods in billions of celestial airplanes. Then it inundates moon, Chandraloka, and finally reaches Lord Brahma's abode atop Mount Meru. So this is the path of Ganga. So first it reaches, it comes from causal ocean, then to Dhruvaloka, then the sages, planets, then moon, then Mount Meru, Manovati. We have seen the Brahma's abode, right, on top of Mount Meru. It reaches there. So from there it has four paths. Right? Sita, Alakananda, and they have four paths. We'll discuss that. So from there it will go to the other places. Here it's mentioned the spaceways, through the spaces of demigods and billions of celestial airplanes. Actually, it is often said that all the planets are moving, right? In the top planets. So they are like chariots. Chariots are airplanes moving on the thing. Probably this is that. Celestial airplanes. It's carried from this sages planets to moon through the medium of celestial airplanes. That's what it mentioned. Through some planets. That's, we can understand that way. So this is the thing. So causal ocean is there. So Ganga Vishnupadi is coming to the Dhruvaloka. Right? Then the seven sages. So from there it falls on the top of this Mount Meru, and it divides itself into four. Right? So this is the eastern path, which is Sita. We'll discuss this in more detail. So that goes and mixes with the salt ocean. So then southern path is Alakananda. It mixes into the salt ocean. Then western tap is called Chakshu. It makes us into the salt ocean here. Then Bhadra, it goes there. So this is the side view. We will see the top view and understand more. Yeah, please read the... Purport points are there, no? And third purport, Prabhupada mentions there are two groups of transcendentalists. Nirvisheshavadis are impersonalists and there are bhaktas. So, merging in Lord's activities. Okay, but this Nirvisheshavadis want to merge into Lord's existence and bhaktas they glorify Lord's activities. So that is what is mentioned. Okay, we'll go ahead with the Ganga's path. Fifth verse. Someone please read.
On top of Mount Meru, the Ganges divides into four branches.
So this is the top of Mount Meru. You remember this? So this is Mount Meru and this Ilavrata Varsha. Then these three mountain ranges above, three mountain ranges below. So one mountain range on either side. Okay, east and west sides. Bhadrasva Varsha, Ketumala Varsha. Right? Yeah. Please read through.
Each of which gushes in a different direction, east, west, north and south.
So it's coming on top of, now you see the top view. So it's coming like this. From the Dhruvaloka and then seven sages planets, it's coming on top, on the Brahma's abode, on top of Meru mountain. So from there is a Sita. So it divides itself into four paths. So one path is called Sita, which is going towards the eastern side. So it just cuts Indra's abode, Amaravati, and then it falls on Gandhamadana mountain. It just skips the Ilavrata Varsha and falls on the boundary mountain, which is Gandhamadana. From there it flows into Bhadrasva Varsha. From there it will meet the salt ocean, salt water ocean. Right? Read.
The branch of Ganges known as the Sita flows through Brahmapuri atop Mount Meru and from there it runs down to the nearby peaks of the Kesharachala mountains which stand almost as high as Mount Meru itself. These mountains are like a bunch of filaments around Mount Meru. From the Kesharachala mountains the Ganges falls to the peak of Gandhamadana mountain and then flows into the land of Bhadrasva Varsha. Finally it reaches the ocean of salt water in the west.
So that is clear, right? Next.
The branch of the Ganges known as Chakshu falls onto the summit of Malyavan mountain and from there cascades onto the land of Ketumala Varsha. The Ganges flows incessantly through Ketumala Varsha and in this way also reaches the ocean of salt water in the west.
Okay, Chakshu is going towards the west and it's going on top of Malyavan and then Ketumala Varsha and meeting the salt water ocean. Okay, next.
The branch of the Ganges known as Bhadra flows from the northern side of Mount Meru. Its waters fall onto the peak of Kumuda mountain, Mount Neela, Sweta mountain and Shangavan mountain in succession. Then it runs down into the province of Kuru and after crossing through that land flows into the salt water ocean in the north.
Okay, so Bhadra has like the three mountain ranges to cross. So it meets the salt water ocean from there. After passing Neela, Sweta, Shangavan. Yes.
So then how to connect it with the previously if you said that when Bhagavad Gita he made the whole in the whole of the system. So that said that Gandha came to all the people of the
So it's already the details of Mother Ganges' descent is mentioned here. So what is the role of Bhagiratha? So Bhagiratha is given the credit of bringing Ganga from top planet still here. I didn't read any specific connection. Okay, I'm not speculating, but I'm speculating. So what we can understand is after Bhagiratha's request, this flow could have happened. Right, I'm not sure about this. This just thought just came in my mind after you asked the question. So, from causal ocean, it's coming to the Dhruvaloka and then seven sages planets. So from there, all these paths are happening. It could be because of Bhagiratha. Maybe. Okay.
Yes.
Correct. They become ashes. They were searching for a horse, and then they went to Kapilashram, and then they doubted him as the thief, and Kapilashram just glanced. Because of their offense towards Kapildev, they became ashes. Then Ganga came. So that's that place is called Ganga Sagar. So, yeah. And we can also give a benefit of doubt that in future, this description is a general description, right, about the path of Ganga. And that Bhagirath's pastime could have happened in then specific millenniums. That is also one scope. I'm not. But they are confirming that it happened from heavenly planets. Then we can safely understand this.
Ramayana, Patukasmara.
Okay. Before that, it was there in heavenly planets only. Yeah. Yes, true. Go ahead.
Alakananda. Similarly, the branch of the Ganges known as Alakananda flows from the southern side of Brahmapuri. Passing over the tops of mountains in various lands, it falls down with fierce force upon the peaks of the mountains, Hemakuta and Himakuta. After inundating After inundating the tops of those mountains, the Ganges falls down onto the tract of land known as Bharatvarsha, which she also inundates. Then the Ganges flows into the ocean of salt water in the south. Persons who come to bathe in this river are fortunate. It is not very difficult for them to achieve with every step the result of performing great sacrifices like the Rajasuya and Ashwamedha Yajnas.
So this place is called, Prabhupada writes in the purport, the place where Ganga is meeting the river is called Ganga Sagar. So many people come and take bath, and they will get liberated also because of Ganga bath there. Right? So even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also considered Ganga as his own mother. Now we will see that video, Vedic Cosmos. Just very short clipping.
An inverted cone, and it is the sporting place for the demigods. Around Meru are many supporting mountains called Kesara. Jambudvipa is 0.8 million miles in diameter and is surrounded by the saltwater ocean of the same width. On top of Mount Meru is a resort of Brahma called Manovati. The famous celestial river Ganges descends to the center of Manovati and then flows out into four directions. Surrounding Manovati in the eight directions are the resort cities of the chief demigods. One of these cities is Amaravati, the resort of Indra, king of heaven. King Indra lives here in majestic opulence, attended to by musicians, dancers, and reciters.
Yes, to read 10th verse.
Many other rivers, both big and small, flow from the top of Mount Meru. These rivers are like daughters of the mountain, and they flow to the various tracts of land in hundreds of branches.
So many other rivers, not only Ganga. Okay. So that completes the description of Ganga, her glories, and the descent, and the path. So from 11th verse, 11 to 15, we have the description of 8 heavenly varshas. Yes, heavenly varshas are the top 8, apart from Bharat Varsha. Yes, read the 11th verse.
Among the 9 varshas, the tract of land known as Bharat Varsha is understood to be the field of fruitive activities. Learned scholars and saintly persons declared the other 8 varshas to be meant for very highly elevated pious persons. After returning from the heavenly planets, they enjoy the remaining results of their pious activities in these 8 earthly varshas.
So people do some pious credits, they go to heavenly planets, and then they come to this heavenly varshas, right, and on the Bhumandala, and then they exhaust their remaining pious credits also. Then they come to Bharat Varsha. Then they do karmakandic activities, and then they go back. So it's like Brahmanda Brahman is going on, right? This whole Brahmanda. So first there is Bhumandala, there are heavenly varshas, and heavenly varshas, heavenly planets are there above also. So people just go to these different heavens. There are 3 kinds of heavens. One is Divya Swarga, then there is Bhauma Swarga, there is Bila Swarga. Divya Swarga is the actual heavenly planets on top, higher planets. Then Bhauma Swarga is the earthly heaven, which is this 8 varshas on the Bhumandala. Then there is subterranean, Bila Swarga. So they go into the, and the lower planets also, they are Swargas. That is called Bila Swarga. We will hear more about it in 25th chapter, I think. In the first 24th chapter, right? In the 5th canto only. Then, devotees are not interested in these 3 Swargas. Don't get excited by hearing about the information of Swargas. So Prabhupada says, devotees are not interested. There is Divya Swarga, Bhauma Swarga, Bila Swarga. No interest. Prabhupada very nicely says, Eirite Brahmanda Brahmiti Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasadupaya Bhakti Lata Bija. So, going up and down, so and doing some karmakandic activities in Bharata Varsha, going to other Varshas and other planets, so this is called Brahmanda Brahman. And this Brahmanda Brahman can be stopped by taking shelter of devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide Guru. That is the theme of Prabhupada's purport. Right? So, we are not interested in Swargas. So we are interested in going back to Vaikuntha Loka or Goloka after penetrating this coverings of material universe. We don't want any good place within this material universe, okay, however opulent it may be. That is the theme of Prabhupada's little longer purport. And devotees are Anyabhilashita Sunyam, Jnana Karmari Anavritam. So they just want to perform devotional service favorably towards Krishna. They have no other desires. Right, and Prabhupada emphasizes on the direction or guidance of a guru. Okay. Guru Krishna Prasadataya Bhakti Lata Bija, he says, right? So who is a guru? So guru is a bona fide representative of Krishna. Right? Avaishnava cannot be a guru. If he is a Vaishnava, even if he is a Swapacha, even if he is a dog eater, he is born in the family of dog eaters, he can be a guru. Vaishnava Swapacha Guru. But Avaishnava cannot be a guru. Although he is qualified Brahmana with all the 6 characteristics of a Brahman. Brahmana has 6 characteristics. What are they? Patan, Patan, Ejan, Yajan, Dana, Parigraha. So these are the 6 qualities of a Brahman. Although a Brahman is qualified with all these 6 qualities, still if he is not a devotee of Vishnu, he cannot be a guru. Who is a guru? Who is a devotee of Vishnu? If you perform devotional service unto Krishna or Vishnu under the guidance of such a bona fide spiritual master, then you can go out of this Brahmanda Brahman and go to Goloka or Vaikuntha. That is the essence of Prabhupada's purport. Please read the 12th verse.
In these 8 varshas or tracts of land, human beings live 10,000 years according to earthly calculations. All the inhabitants are almost like demigods. They have the bodily strength of 10,000 elephants. Indeed, their bodies are as sturdy as thunderbolts. The youthful duration of their lives is very pleasing, and both men and women enjoy sexual union with great pleasure for a long time. After years of sensual pleasure, when a balance of 1 year of life remains, the wife conceives a child. Thus the standard of pleasure for the residents of these heavenly regions is exactly like that of the human beings who lived during Treta Yuga.
So a long description about the inhabitants of all the 8 varshas. Now about the dimensions and structure, shapes of these heavenly varshas are described in the previous chapter. So inhabitants live 10,000 years according to the calculation of humanly time, right? They are almost like demigods. They have bodily strength of 10,000 elephants, and their youth is very pleasing. They have sex and then conceive child only when the balance lifetime is 1 year. So they become pregnant only once in a lifetime, right? That is the characteristic of these inhabitants of 8 other varshas. So their pleasure is similar to that of the human beings of Treta Yuga. There is a comparison given by Sukadeva Goswami. So Prabhupada gives. So in 4 yugas are there. So what is the nature of people in 4 yugas? In Satya Yuga, people are very pious. They used to practice mystic yoga for God realization. Right? They have no interest in material sense gratification. That is the nature of Satya Yuga people. But when it comes to Treta Yuga, there is an inclination for sense pleasure, right? And they enjoy sense pleasure without tribulations. That is the nature of Satya Yuga people. Satya Yuga people have no interest, but Treta Yuga people have interest in sense pleasure and they enjoy it without tribulations. So these 8 heavenly varshas are similar to the Treta Yuga people, who have inclination for sense pleasure and who get facilities for the sense enjoyment. So next yuga, that is Dwapara Yuga. In Dwapara Yuga, material miseries began. So material miseries were not there in Satya Yuga and Treta Yuga, according to Prabhupada's purport here. In Dwapara Yuga, material miseries began, but they are not very stringent. So material miseries were not very deep or very strong in Dwapara Yuga. But in Kali Yuga, stringent material miseries really began. So that is the nature of Kali Yuga. So that is about yugas. And about pregnancy also Prabhupada comments very nicely. Animals are there. So they become pregnant twice in a year. And each time when they become pregnant, they produce at least 6 kids. Snakes, right? They produce thousands of snakes at one time. Okay. Actually, pregnancy or sex pleasure is meant for degraded species. That is what Prabhupada says. But in the higher grades of lifetime, they become pregnant only once in a lifetime, although there is sex life. So pregnancy is a degraded condition of life. In the 8 heavenly varshas, we just read that they become pregnant once in a lifetime only. When their lifetime is just 1 year more, they become pregnant and give birth to a child and die. Like that. But in spiritual world, there is no sex life because of devotional attitude. Okay, intense devotional attitude. Even if there is some once in a while, there is no pregnancy. So spiritual world, no pregnancy. Higher planets, only one pregnancy in one lifetime. And lower species, animals and snakes, there is multiple pregnancies. But human being in this earthly planet, he is so peculiar that he has lot of inclination for sex life, but he has a tendency to avoid pregnancy. They engage in sex, but they avoid pregnancy. Other people, they don't do that. Snakes don't avoid pregnancy, or animals don't avoid pregnancy. Even heavenly planets, they also don't avoid pregnancy, because they don't become pregnant only. But Prabhupada says this is very degraded. Avoiding children is very degraded tendency, and it perpetuates one's misery in this material life. Right? In spiritual world. Generally no, but no sex life. But sometimes it could happen also. Vaimanika saladanas charitani shasvat gayanti yatra samalakshapanani bhartu antarjale anuvikasan madhumadavina gandhena khandita dhiyopyanilam kshupanta. There is one more verse which is actually this. Etsankulan haripadayanati matra drishtair vaidhurya marakata hemamayir vimane esham brahat katitata smita shobhimukhya krishnatmanam na raja adadu ritsmayadya. Because there is, they are Krishnatmanam, they are absorbing Krishna, passionate desire for sense enjoyment, they don't enter. Prabhupada here clarifies that sometimes it could happen also, but there is no pregnancy at all. Okay. Now, next verse. 12th verse is done. 13th verse, read.
In each of those tracts of land, there are many gardens filled with flowers and fruits according to the seasons. Mm. And there are beautifully decorated hermitages as well. Between the great mountains, demarcating the borders of those lands, lie enormous lakes of clear water filled with newly grown lotus flowers. aquatic birds such as swans, ducks, water chickens and cranes become greatly excited by the fragrance of lotus flowers, and a charming sound of bumblebees fill the air. The inhabitants of those lands are important leaders among the demigods. Always attended by their respective servants, they enjoy life in gardens alongside the lakes. In this pleasing situation, the wives of the demigods smile playfully at their husbands and look upon them with lusty desires. All the demigods and their wives are constantly supplied with sandalwood pulp and flower garlands by their servants. In this way, all the residents of the eight heavenly varshas enjoy attracted by the activities of the opposite sex.
So very detailed description of the opulence of these eight heavenly varshas is given. So they have seasonal fruits and flowers, they have beautifully decorated hermitages, nice lakes filled with beautiful birds and flowers and other things. There are lotuses growing and many birds are getting attracted to the lotuses and coming there.
So these are
eight heavenly varshas. Ilavrita, Bhadrasa, all this. Here is the description of lower heavenly planets. Is this an indication that it's a lower Bilasvarga? There are three types of Svarga: Divyasvarga, Bhaumasvarga, Bilasvarga. So Divyasvarga is the topmost. Okay, lower than that is Bhaumasvarga. Below that is Bilasvarga. But this whole description is about the eight heavenly varshas only. Ilavrita, Bhadrasa, all that.
These are Bhaumasvarga.
He means the middle one. Right. So, inhabitants of these planets enjoy in a pleasing atmosphere, clear lakes, okay? That is the description. Prabhupada says, heavenly residents enjoy superior sense gratification. Their sense gratification is much superior to ours. Right? So, but they don't forget the position, their positions as servants of Krishna. They don't forget their service to Krishna. That makes them better than heaven, and then people who are enjoying senses here. Right? This is very important. Human beings forget their service to Krishna. Human beings forget their constitutional position as eternal servants of Krishna. But these people, they have access to sense enjoyment, but still they don't forget. So that is the glory. So now here in the earthly planet, there are limited resources and there is a limited enjoyment. So people will forget the Lord. And in heavenly planet, there are unlimited resources and there is unlimited enjoyment, but still one doesn't forget the Supreme Lord and His service. That is important. So, but in Vaikuntha, there are infinite resources, right? And infinite remembrance of Krishna and infinite service for Krishna. Infinite service attitude also. So that is the distinction between various planetary systems. 14th verse, read.
To show mercy to His devotees in each of these nine tracts of land, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Narayan, expands Himself in His quadruple principles of Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. In this way, He remains near His devotees to accept their service.
Now come, we are entering a very, very exciting description. So 1.5 chapters give the basic structure of Jambudvipa and different varshas in the Jambudvipa. So now, next 2.5 chapters, they describe the prayers of residents of these nine varshas, right? This is very important. So you see, no Bhagavatam canto is without a prayer. Every Bhagavatam canto has some prayers. So prayer is such an important element in one's devotional service, in the life of a devotee, whether he is a practitioner or a perfect devotee. So that's very important. Even in Satsarup Goswami's, Satsarup Maharaj's book, Vandanam, that's about the science of prayer only. So in that also he mentions, he gives a list of various chapters, okay, which are containing prayers. So prayer is a very important element. Even in the description of universal structure, where some geographical details and the dimensions of various planets are only mentioned, still there is prayer. 2.5 chapters are dedicated. Such deep prayers, my God. So now we will begin that prayers. from the next verse onwards. Here Lord is expanding into each of these verses. So Lord did not just create the universal structure and then leave it for it to function. He is expanding into each of these verses. Right? Understand how insignificant a varsha could be in comparison to the Supreme Lord. So Mahavishnu is there, so from his fetters millions of universes are coming, and one of those universes is having such great details, and Bhumandala is compared to this whole Bhumandala in the Jambudvipa is like one dot only. You see the images inside Bhumandala. Jambudvipa is not seen only. In this image if you see, Jambudvipa is one dot. Around that there is such huge structure in such a big page. So in that Jambudvipa there are 9 varshas and the Lord's 9 expansions are there. Lord is the greater than the greatest. He can become smaller than the smallest, or he can just expand himself into wherever he can, wherever is needed, and then accept the prayers of devotees, accept the service of the devotees. Lord expands and remains near his devotees to accept their service. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja asya suritekshita patho nanunata pamsam yadya dhyata urugaya vibhavayanti tat tat papuh pranayase sadanugrahaya. Out of their mercy, out of his mercy and affection towards his devotees, Lord presents himself in various forms to reciprocate with the mood of a devotee, service of a devotee. Very small. From 20th chapter, we'll get the details of other Plakshadvipa and other dvipas also.
So, other 7 actually,
no, that is not mentioned. Within this Jambudvipa, these 8 varshas are considered heavenly, and Bharata Varsha is considered earthly. But these all are an earthly plane only. These are earthly heavens. Like that. Okay, Prabhupada speaks about deity worship here. So, worshipping a deity means worshipping the person only. Right? So, because although the worshipper is living within this material world, he is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any doubt. It depends on his mood of worshipping the deity. So, here Supreme Lord is expanding into various places, various varshas, as their predominating deities. So Prabhupada is commenting about deity worship. So this Archa Vigraha is non-different from the original person of God, personality of Godhead. Archa Vishnu Silaghir Gurushu Naramatihi. It is an offense to consider that a deity is a stone. Deity is made of marble, or black marble, white marble. Black marble deity is better than white marble deity. White marble deity is better than black marble deity. These are all offensive attitudes. So, deity worshippers in the temple, even though are there in this planet, should be understood to be directly in touch with the Supreme Lord. Right? So, basically, Kanishtadikaris, Kanishta Bhaktas, they need specific time and place for worship, and they have to do deity worship. So, Uttamadikari, he has a very spontaneous attraction for worshipping the deity of the Lord. Right? But, Kanishta, he has to follow regulative principles of worshipping the deity, and try to avoid his avoid offenses. And by worshipping the deity, a Kanishta's tendency for quarrelling with devotees will subside, will reduce also. Like that. So one has to avoid offenses in deity worship and spiritual master also. So in the spiritual world and material world, Lord expands in all directions. So his expansions are begin with the Chaturvyuha expansions. And all these Chaturvyuha expansions, they are represented by deities. Right? So, Prabhupada says, in the material world, what are the Chaturvyuha expansions? So, in the material world, Vasudeva Sankarshan Pradyumna Aniruddha are Chaturvyuhas. So, Vasudeva is staying at a place called Vedavati, in a Vaikuntha Loka covered with water. That is somewhere there in this material universe only, Lord Vasudeva is staying there. Then Sankarshan, he is staying on Vishnu Loka planet. It's above Satya Loka. Above Satya Loka, there is a planet called Vishnu Loka in this material world only, and Lord Sankarshan is staying there. Then Pradyumna is staying in Dwaraka as the predominator of that place. Then Aniruddha is staying, is lying on the Ananta in Airavatapura in Milk Ocean on Svetadvipa. These are certain details of the residences of Chaturvyuha expansions of the Supreme Lord in this material world, Prabhupada gives. Aniruddha is an expansion of super soul. Yes, Prabhu. This is somewhere in the material world only, Prabhupada says. I don't know exactly the positioning of this place. So, this is important detail. Above Satyaloka. That is not Svetadvipa. This is a Vishnuloka and a separate planet. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport. I didn't see in the... Dwarka. Dwarkapur. Material world. Okay. In the earthly planet only, mostly. Gujarat. Gujarat is not mentioned there. So there are five kinds of expansions of the Lord. Para, Vyuha, Vaibhava, Antaryami, Archa, Vigraha. So this para, this is not there in the purport. So this I have heard from Radhika Vallabh Prabhu. So in this context it's very relevant. So para vyuha, para means the Lord in the spiritual world. Then vyuha is the Lord's expansion. With that is Chaturvyuha. Then vaibhava are the various incarnations of the Supreme Lord. Antaryami is the super soul. Archa Vigraha is the deity. Now the accessibility of these different expansions of the Lord. So the para expansion of the Lord, I mean, who is in the spiritual world, we cannot access him. Chaturvyuha also, we can't access them. We can't just go and meet Sankarsan. Right? So Vaibhava, incarnations also, sometimes the people have access. When they come incarnate on this planet, Rama or Varaha, so sometimes people will have access. So, analogy is also given. Just like milk ocean is there, you can't access the water of milk ocean. So that is like para, spiritual world Lord. Then water in the clouds, that also you cannot access. They are staying there only. How will you access? That is Chaturvyuha. But rainwater you can access. That is like this Vaibhava incarnations. So super soul is like groundwater. So groundwater means you have to excavate it. Right? So super soul also can be, you can access super soul by following certain process. Ashtanga yoga, jnana yoga, like that. But Archa Vigraha, deity form, is like tap water. You can access. All you have to go to the tap. All you have to do is go to the temple and access deity form of the Lord. Right? So that's why deity is considered more merciful. More accessible form of the Supreme Lord in this material world. Right. So these nine varshas, this is important slide. So these nine varshas are there. Out of these nine, as we discussed, these are the heavenly varshas. This top eight. This Bharata Varsha, this is earthly Varsha. Right? So there are predominating deities. What are the predominating deities? For Uttara Kuru Varsha, Lord Gaur, Varahadev. For Hiranmaya Varsha, Kurmadev. Ramyaka Varsha, Matsyavatar. And there are predominating worshippers also mentioned. So this next 2.5 chapters, it's mentioned. So it's like one slide on those 2.5 chapters. Then, Mother Lakshmi worships Cupid or Hrishikesha, okay, in Ketumala Varsha. And Lord Shiva worships Lord Sankarsan in Ilavrata Varsha. And he is associated with Mother Parvati and other ladies there. Then in Bhadrasa Varsha, Bhadrasa worships Lord Hayasirsha. And in Hari Varsha, Prahlad Maharaj worships Narasimhadev. Then in Kimpurusha Varsha, the inhabitants headed by Hanumanji, they worship Lord Ramachandra. And in Bharata Varsha, Naradmuni worships Naranarayan. So these are the predominating deities. You can remember this. Now today we will discuss the prayers of Lord Shiva in the Ilavrata Varsha. Okay, of Ilavrata Varsha, he worships Lord Sankarsan. Yes, there are little slightly different names, right? Vasudeva Sankarsan, these are like expansions. Go there. See, Vasudeva, here this Hayasirsha in Bhadrasa Varsha is an expansion of Vasudeva, right? Then Sankarsan is there in Ilavrata Varsha. So Prajumna is Cupid, right? Prajumna or Aniruddha? Prajumna is Cupid. Aniruddha? Prajumna is Cupid. So that is in Ketumala Varsha. Right? So like that we have Narasimhadev, Hayagriva. So I mean, when Satvata Tantras are mentioning these names, Bhagavatam is mentioning these names. So definitely there is a connection between those names. Either the personality could be an expansion of the source one, so like that. Okay, please read the next verse.
This what you should read Bhagavatam.
The Bhagavatam names. What is mentioned in this book?
So
first 14th. Satvata Tantras. Read the 16th verse.
In Ilavaruta Varsha, Lord Shiva is always encircled by 10 billion maidservants of Goddess Durga who minister to him. The quadruple expansion of the Supreme Lord is composed of Vasudev, Pradyumna, Aniruddha and Sankarsana.
Hmm.
Sankarsana, the fourth expansion, is certainly transcendental.
Hmm.
But because his activities of destruction in the material world are in the mode of ignorance, he is known as Tamasi, the Lord's form in the mode of ignorance. Lord Shiva knows that Sankarsana is the original cause of his own existence,
mm.
and thus he always meditates upon him in trance by chanting the following mantra. Mm.
So, Atmanah Prakritim means Lord Shiva has his source in Lord Sankarsana. He is expanding from Lord Sankarsana. So he is meditating on Sankarsana. Okay, you see Lord Shiva is Dhira Purush. Parvati is next to him and so many millions of Yaksha wives. Okay, Yaksha ladies are with him and there is no male around and he is like Dhira, he is absorbed in Lord Sankarsana. Even our, who is that? Chitraketu Maharaj. He was surrounded by Vidyadhara ladies. He was travelling in celestial planet, planes, right? But his enjoyment is absorption in Sankarsana, Lord Sankarsana. He is a devotee of Sankarsana. Like that. So he is worshipping the Lord Sankarsana with this mantra. What is the mantra? Om Namo Bhagavate Mahapurushaya Sarvagana Sankhyanaya Anantaya Avyaktaya Nama Iti. This is the mantra. So Mahapurushaya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Then Sarvagana Sankhyanaya means the reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Then Anantaya, unlimited. Avyaktaya, unmanifested. Right? It's not easy to access him. That's how he worships. This is the Sankarsana mantra. Then 18th verse. Bhajo bhajanya ranapada pankajam Bhagat sakritsnasya paramparayanam Bhakteshwalam bhavita bhuta bhavanam Bhavapahamtva bhavabhavanishwaram. Very nice, beautiful verse. The Bha Shabda is repeating so many times. How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So, Bha syllable is completely coming many times. So, Bhaje Bhajanya. Bhaje, I am worshipping the Lord. Who is Bhajanya? Worshipable. Darshaniya means the person who is worth looking at. Sharanya means the person who is worth giving shelter to others. So, Bhajanya means the person who is worthy of worship. So, Bhaje Bhajanya. Arana Pada Pankajam means the Lord's lotus feet will protect his devotees. Right? The protector of devotees. Bhaje Bhajanya Arana Pada Pankajam. Bhagatsya Krishnasya Paramparayanam. Bhagasya, Bhaga is opulence, Bhagavan. So Lord is full of all six opulences. Right? Paramparayanam, he is the ultimate and best shelter of all devotees. Then Bhakteshvalam Bhavita Bhuta Bhavanam. So, Bhakteshvalam, one more explanation is given. Bhakteshvalam means one who remains like an ornament for the devotees. That is Bhakteshvalam. Bhavita Bhuta Bhavanam. So, Bhavita Bhuta Bhavanam means for the satisfaction of his devotees, Lord manifests various forms. That's why he is called Bhavita Bhuta Bhavanam. And one more explanation is given by Chakravartipad on Bhavita Bhuta Bhavanam. He upon whom Lord Brahma meditates, or he by whom Brahma is created. There are various ways of relishing the same Sanskrit, right? Acharyas relished these beautiful verses in various ways. And the different ways of their explanations are aligning to the Siddhanta, right? So that is the way of relishing. You don't try to screw out a different meaning and say, I'm relishing. Bhagavatam. Speculation cannot be relishing. So when Acharya does it, it's relishing. Then Bhavapaham. Bhavapaham means one who steals, one who delivers one from material existence. Bhava is material existence. Bhava is also Shiva. Right? So Bhava Bhavam Ishwaram. Bhava Bhavam means Bhava is material existence. Bhava Bhavam means the origin of material existence. That is Supreme Lord. Who is that? Ishwaram. Sankarshan. So this is the verse. And the first line also has another explanation. I worship wholeheartedly he who has lotus feet. Bhaje bhajanya arana pada pankajam. Right? Lord has beautiful lotus feet. I worship him. And that. So I worship you who have prema for me. That is what Lord Shiva says. Right? Now, yeah, we will read the 19th verse. Nice? Yes, please. That time he came to 11th verse and meditating on Sankarshan, you are saying? I am not sure. I don't know. Nayasya maya guna chitta vritti bhir nirikshatohvan vapi drishti vajyate ishayathana ditamanyuram hasam kastam namanyeta jivishuratmana. Very beautiful verse. Nayasya maya guna chitta vritti bhir nirikshato hya anvati drishtir ajyate. So drishti, Lord's drishti, nirikshato, it's falling on the material nature. So how does the material nature manifest? The cosmos manifest by Lord's glance. So Lord is coming in contact with the material nature through his glance. Right? So Lord is engaging in a material activity, which is material creation, material maintenance and material destruction. But still, nayasya maya guna chitta vritti bhir. Lord is not affected. Supreme Lord is not affected even to the slightest degree by his coming in contact with the material nature. Right? So, ishe yathano jita manyu ramhasam. But we, this conditioned souls, when we glance on the material nature, so many desires develop. We get affected by it. Right? When Supreme Lord glances on a beautiful lady, he will consider that she is my part and parcel. Okay? This is a soul who is my part and parcel. I am suffering in this material body, which is a woman body. Okay? Or male body, whatever. Animal body. That is his perception. Right? But when a small child glances on that same female form, then he may have some motherly feeling. When a young man glances, he may have enjoyment feeling. When a tiger glances, he may say, my lunch is ready. Right? So these are the different perceptions of various people. But Lord's perception is the perfect perception. He is not affected by it. He is not influenced by it. Na yasya maya gana jatta vritti bhir nirikshato hvanyapi drishtir ajyate. So we have here manyu. Manyu means anger. We have no controlled anger. When Lord sees something wrong, he will not become angry. Right? He is not affected by it. Right? But we get affected. Kastamna manyeta jigishuratmanaha. So now if we have desire to conquer our senses, if we have desire to control our lust and anger, we should take shelter of the Lord. Or who is that fellow who is desiring to conquer the senses, we would not take shelter of the Lord? That is the question mark given. Question. Right. If you have a desire to control your senses, better take shelter of that person. You are getting affected by your contact with material nature, and if you don't want to get affected, better approach a person who is not affected by material nature, even after touching him. What is that first kind of verse? Where Lord is not affected. Yetad ishanam ishasya prakriti stopi tad gunaihi na yujyate sadatmasthir sada tad bhava bhavita. So Lord, although he is coming in contact with material nature, he is not influenced by it. Similarly, devotees who take shelter of the Lord will also not get influenced by material interactions, material nature, modes. Right? This is the important point. Prabhupada says Lord is equipped with inconceivable potencies. Chakravarti also says this. So this is the description of Lord's inconceivable potency. It's inconceivable. Why? We only have the experience of getting affected by something when we see it, when we come in touch with it. But he is a person who is not getting affected. Okay, in whatever may be his contact with anyone, anything in this material world, he doesn't get affected. He's aloof. Did you ever see such a person? Did you ever have such an experience, personal experience? No. It's inconceivable for us. This is a description of Lord's inconceivable potency. And our experience of coming in contact with material nature is thoroughly insignificant compared to Lord's experience of coming in touch with material nature. Right? He is dealing with millions of universes. Right? We deal with an insignificant part of one part of one part of one universe. Right? But still we get so much affected. We get overwhelmed by it. So it's inconceivable for us. Right? So, and of course the degree to which one is affected by a particular sense object may vary. Or some people may get affected more by coming in contact with one particular sense object compared to other sense objects. Right? But everyone is affected to some degree or the other. Right? But Lord is not like that. Like that. Here, what is suggested here by this question mark in the fourth line is, if you desire to conquer the senses, you should take the shelter of the Lord. For example, yesterday, our Ajit Mukund Prabhu was distributing Mahaprasad. Right? So, I said, I don't want this item. I don't want this item. But I felt little sentimental that I am rejecting. So then I accepted some. Chutney I accepted. As soon as I took one morsel of food, which is involved with the chutney, right? So tears started flowing. Nayanam galagashrudharaya, vadanam gadgadarudhayagira. What will happen if you take chilies? Right? So, when you take something tika, right, to come out of that feeling, what you need to do? You take some sweet. You take some gulab jamun. Then that tika feeling will be mitigated. If you take one more mirchi, your misery will not be mitigated. Right? You will shed more tears only. Okay, instead of mitigating that misery. Right? Similarly, if you want to conquer your senses, if you want to control your senses, or if you want to come out of certain entanglement of senses, better take shelter of a person, right, who is not affected by it. Right? Who will not influence you anymore. So, material problem cannot be solved with a material solution. Right? Your tears will not stop by taking one more chili. But material problem can be solved by accepting shelter of the Supreme Lord, who is sweet, whose dealings with his devotees are sweet. Right? That is the point. So, even third canto also says, Sasam hare ravanata akhila loka tivra sokashtu sagar visoshana matyudaram sammohanaya rajitam nijamaya asya bhumandali munikriti makaradhyasya. If you focus on the beautiful smile of the Lord, you may be drowned in ocean of tears which are shed by the lamentation of this material existence. That will be dried up. Okay, ocean will be dried up by coming in contact with Lord's glance. Right? So one will not be affected by lust by focusing on the eyebrows of the Lord. Right? So these solutions are given. So, essence is, Daivi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratya Mahamevaya Prapajyanti Maya Maitam Tarantite. So, saying that is easy, writing this verse in Bhakti Shastra exams is easy, getting full marks is easy, but implementing that is very difficult. Right? Here the verse is reconfirming that. Who desiring to conquer the senses wouldn't take Lord's shelter? Everyone is disturbed by senses. And everyone who is little more sane, who is a sane person, he wants to come out of the influence of sense, uncontrolled senses. So he has to take shelter of the Lord. Okay, next verse. This is little more exciting. This is like an example, case study of the 19th verse. Okay, how is Lord senses controlled? So this is an example is given. Asadrisha patibhati mayaya kshideva nabdha sanatamra lochana nanagavadharhana ishire hiriyam यत्पादयो स्पर्शन दर्शितेन्द्रियाः.
For persons with impure vision, the Supreme Lord's eyes appear like those of someone who indiscriminately drinks intoxicating beverages.
Asadrisho. Asadrisho means one whose vision is impure. Asadrisho. For such people, yeah, pratibhati mayaya. It appears like that. What does it appear? Kshibheva madhvasava tamra lochana. When they see the beautiful reddish eyes of the Lord, Tamra Lochana, Sankarshans, then Madhvasava, they think that this fellow has drunk some liquor or some honey or something like that, he's intoxicated. That is their perception. Because they are Asadrisho. People who are having impure vision will see that Lord is angry, Lord is intoxicated. Right? That is their perception of the Lord. Right? Tamra Lochana. Yeah, read.
Thus bewildered, such an unintelligent persons become angry at the Supreme Lord, and due to their angry mood, the Lord himself appears angry and very fearful. However, this is an illusion.
So what is that? What is their problem? Because they are angry and they are fearful, they are seeing the Lord. Like that. Atmavan manyate jagat. Atmavan manyate God also. Here. So they are angry, they are perceiving that Lord is angry. Okay? Yeah, read.
When the wives of the serpent demon were agitated by the touch of the Lord's lotus feet, due to the shyness, they could proceed no further in their worship of him. Yet the Lord remained unagitated with their touch, for he is equipoised in all circumstances. Therefore, who will not worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
So, nanaga vadho rhana ishire hriya yat padayo sparshana dharshitendriya. When this Lord was dancing on the hoots of Kaliya, and then he subdued the arrogance of Kaliya, and all the Nagapatnis came, okay, with so much paraphernalia to worship Lord Krishna, and they touched the 7-year-old or 6-year-old boy lotus feet of Krishna, and they became a little agitated. Right? Lord is the supreme cupid. They became agitated. And they, out of their shy, they couldn't proceed further in worshipping him. But Lord has no such feelings. Right? He remains unagitated. Right? He has no problem. So, it's like that. Even the worshippers, they can become agitated. But Lord is not agitated. What is that other verse which reconfirms this unagitated nature, dhira nature of the Lord? Uddama bhava pishunamala valguhasa vridava loka nihato madanopiyasan. Sammuhya chapa majahat pramadottamasta yas indriyam vimathitum koha kairna seku. So, the beautiful furtive glances of Krishna's queens, right, they can attract even Lord Shiva, even Cupid. Madano, Amadano, both are getting attracted. But Krishna is not getting attracted. Krishna will get attracted only to their devotional service, not anything else. Right? So dhira means, although there is a great reason for agitation, still he doesn't get agitated. That is, he is called dhira. Right? It's very difficult. That example is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by taking shelter of that Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can become dhira. Right? The example is Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj saw the fearful form of Narsingdev and then he didn't get agitated. He was not fearful. But all the other demigods like Brahma, Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, even Lakshmi, they got fearful. Aray, who is this person? Right? Lakshmi Devi is saying, I never saw such a person. Right? So they all become fearful, but Prahlad Maharaj, because he is a dhira, he never got agitated. He was never fearful. So one has to take shelter of the Supreme Lord to become a dhira. How he can become, he can make you dhira? Because he himself is dhira. Like that. Now, 21st verse. Yamahurasya sthiti janma samyamam trivirvihinam yamanantam rishaya navoya siddhartam uva kvachit sthitam భూమండలం మూర్ధ సహస్రధామసు.
Lord Shiva continued, all the great sages accept the Lord as the source of creation, maintenance and destruction, although he actually has nothing to do with these activities.
So yamahur asya sthiti janma samyamam tribhir vihinam yam anantam rishaya. Rishis, rishaya, they consider what? Asya sthiti janma samyatam samyamam. Lord is the source of creation, maintenance and destruction. Sthiti janma samyatam. Tribhir vihinam. Although he is doing these three activities, he is vihinam. He is not actually doing anything. That he has nothing to do with those activities. Right? So, rishis understand this. Right? So, that's why they call him Ananta, unlimited Lord. Right? Naveda siddhartam iva kvachit sthitam bhumandalam murdha sahasra dhamashu. So, na veda siddhartham, iva kvachit sthitam. Siddhartham means mustard seed. See such a name. Sanskrit gives such a name. Siddhartham means a mustard seed. Right? The right. So, Lord Sesha holds universes on his head like small mustard seeds. Right? He has to search. Are kidare? Universe kidare? So, there he has to search. It's so insignificant in comparison to such huge hoods of Lord, which are thousands. Right? So, like that. So, Sesha or Ananta has unlimited strength, fame, wealth, knowledge, beauty, renunciation, everything. He is unlimited in every aspect. So, carrying a universe is nothing. All the universe has such great details we have seen. Just one varsha we have seen, one mountain we have seen. Right? It's like bewildering. So, many millions of such universes are on top of his heads. He is Ananta. You recognize where is this? This image? Our temple. Yeah. Actually, I was thinking we will put a universe, okay, on top of his head and put some details of, within the universe, right, on top of his head. But Anupam Garam had a different plan. Okay, we will put on mustard seed, it's anyways not visible. So we took the, we will put only Sesha, he said. And we went to Garam Prabhu. So Garam Prabhu said, you check with Bhanu Maharaj, whether the universe is actually placed like that, okay, on top of it. So somehow he just boiled down and then, so he is plan of putting Adhisesha like this only on the temple. So we implemented that. It's Adhisesha. So mustard is not visible only. So the universe is not visible on his hoods only. You will see only Ananta, if we happen to see. So mustard seed on the hood of a serpent is so insignificant. That's what Prabhupada says. 22. Yasyada asid guna vigraho mahan vijnana dhishnyo bhagavan ajahkila yatsandavoham trivrita svatejasa vaikarikanta nazanaindriyam srije ete vayam yasya vase mahatmana sthitasu sakuntha iva surya iva sutra yantritah mahanaham vai kritata masindriyah srijama sarve yavanugrahadidam.
From that Supreme Personality of Godhead appears Lord Brahma, whose body is made from the total material energy, the reservoir of intelligence predominated by the passionate mode of material nature. From Lord Brahma, I myself am born as a representation of false ego.
That means Rudra, Shiva is saying.
By my own power, I create all the other demigods, the five elements and the senses. Therefore, I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than any of us, and under whose control are situated all the demigods, material elements and senses, and even Lord Brahma and I myself, like birds bound by a rope. Only by the Lord's grace can we create, maintain and annihilate the material world. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Being.
So just like birds bound by rope by the master, I didn't see much. Birds are bound by rope by master, that's what he says. So similarly, Lord is controlling everyone. Prabhupada gives little more details. From Supreme Lord comes Sankarshan, from him comes Mahavishnu, from him comes Garbhodaksha Vishnu, from him comes Brahmaji, from him Rudra and other demigods. So this is a whole hierarchy. So basically Lord is the cause of everything. Okay, whether we understand these details or not, we have to understand that one thing. Lord is cause of everything. He is above all. Okay, now last verse. 24. Yannirmitam karhyapi karma parvanim mayam janayam gunasarga mohita navyaganistaranayoga manjasam tasmai namaste vilayoga yatmane. So yan nirmitam karhi api karma parvina parvani. So it's gone. It's not getting fast. And I just closed the book also. So yan nirmitam karhi api karma parvanim. So yan nirmitam. Nirmita means who created the Lord? Who created the universe? Lord only. Right? Karihapi karma parvanim. Karma parvanim means the knots of fruitive activity that tie a conditioned soul. So Lord's illusory energy, mayam, janoyam guna sarga mohita, maya, Lord's maya, will tie person with karmic knots, and guna sarga mohita, and the conditioned soul is bewildered by the three modes of material nature. So that is the nature of Lord's Maya. So what will happen? Na Veda Nistarana Yogam Anjasa. Na Veda, and this fellow doesn't know what? Nistarana Yogam. Nistarana Yogam means the means or the process to get out of this material existence. Means to get out of this karma tarvini. Means to get out of this guna sarga mohita. He doesn't know. Na Veda Nistarana Yoga Anjasa. How to easily come out of it, he doesn't know. Tasmai namaste vilayodayatmane. So I offer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose illusory is creating this whole thing for the conditioned soul. Right? And he is vilaya udaya atmane. Okay, in whom everything is annihilated and manifested again. Like that. So that is the final prayer of Lord Shiva in the Ilavrita Varsha. So Chakravartipad says in this, Lord is very difficult to know. This is expressed by Kaimuthika Nyaya. If Lord's Maya is just entrapping the conditioned soul so much, how do you know the source of that Maya, Lord? That is what is expressed here. So man does not know Maya created by the Lord. How can he be, how then can he know you or Bhakti Yoga, the method of quickly becoming free from Maya, who ties the knot of karma? So Bhakti Yoga is very confidential. So this verse Shiva says, that Naveda Nistarana Yogam Anjasa. So conditioned soul is unable to know what is the means to get out of it. What is the means to get out of it? Bhakti Yoga. So conditioned soul cannot know that Bhakti Yoga. Very confidential. By the mercy of Acharyas we come in contact. How fortunate we are. How many people know that is Nistarana Yoga? So yeah, Prabhupada says research is useless. Vaivihiyasham, Brahmavi, Mamaya, Dhrutya, all conditioned souls are in Maya. Okay, they consider body as the self and they continuously do this Brahmana Brahman. To come out of this, they have to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And you are trying to figure out so many things, so-called scientists are ludicrously trying to find out the cause of life. They take no notice of the fact that the life is already being produced. They are trying to know what is the cause of life, but life is already produced. So they are unable to know. What will be their credit if they find out the chemical composition of So Living entities detailing sit in body. Manasashtani, Indriyani, Prakriti, Stari, Garshati. In all the activities of creation and annihilation, the living entity is entangled in futile activities which are executed by Maya. He is exactly like a computer handled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord is the operator. Material nature is the being operated. Okay, and the living entity is being operated. Like that. So scientists say that nature acts independently, but they cannot explain what nature is. Nature is nothing but a machine operated by the Supreme Lord. When one understands the operator, his problems are solved. But to understand it, bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate. Granthaya Srimad Bhagavatam ki? Srila Prabhupada ki? Tomorrow Radhika Vallabh Prabhu will continue with the prayers of 18th chapter. Then, after completing the prayers till 19th chapter, the actual details of the description of universal structure begin from 20th chapter, little more details, more deeper. So Radha Vallabh Prabhu is an authority in that field, so he will take it, but he is in Mayapur, he is not available till Gauri Purnima. So what we will do is, we'll complete 19 chapters, then we'll take the 26th chapter, which is hellish planets, which is connection to the 6th canto. Then we'll continue with the 6th canto till Radha Vallabh Prabhu is available. Then he will come back and take from 5.20 to 25. The 6 chapters are meant for Prabhuji to take. So whenever he is available, post Gauri Purnima we'll have. Okay? Questions? Okay, one question. First question. Draw the structure of Jambudvipa and mark the all the mountains and varshas right, nicely. That is 15 marks. And second question. Draw the details of mountains around Sumeru mountain. Okay, and mark the various things, all the tree and other things, whatever you can remember. That is 15 marks. so many names. Not necessarily all those names, whatever you can remember. But structure you remember. That is 20 marks, that is 15 marks. Then draw the top of Mount Meru, Brahmaji and all the abodes, that is 5 marks. Total 35 marks. And give the flow of Ilavrata Shiva's prayers, that is 15 marks. And quote that bheje, what is that verse? Bhaja, bhaje, bhaje bhajanyarana pada pankajam. 18th verse you can quote, then 19 also you can quote. Okay, that is 15 marks. You remember the question paper? There you go. Three 15s and 1 5. Three diagrams and one prayer flow. After completing 19 chapter, we'll begin with the 26th chapter. Then we'll continue 6th canto. It's worth waiting for Radha Vallabh Prabhu to hear that from him. And 18th chapter has much more beautiful prayers. Very nice. Thank you.